If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad Boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, this is Rick Dees in the morning.
I am an asshole.
Come on, who's a bigger jackass than me? I'm a huge jackass.
Lisa, what was your favorite part of the Tim Matheson interview? Was it when Kevin asked about Tim's dead dad?
You know, my father passed away a few years ago.
Oh, did he? It's a good thing he didn't have to see that then.
I knew it. I just wanted, I know. As soon as I said, have you talked to your,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's a good thing he's dead then, so he doesn't have to see this.
Note to self, never ask Star about parents.
That is some f***ed up s***.
Kevin and Bean, honestly, they're a couple of schmucks.
I'm here to say... to hell with the white America.
And dead at 73, Belgian cartoonist André Franquin, creator of the hilariously disaster-prone character Gaston Lagaffe.
You appear intelligent, but when you open your mouth, the effect is spoiled.
Yeah, screw you.
I'm taking you down right now. You and me. Let's go, bitch.
And now.
That's the way it is? Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Our feature presentation.
There really is nothing worse than an ass face.
Oh,
I mean, really.
No, you don't. You don't want that, right? No.
It's 5:32. Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, the 27th of Slut-tember.
Slut! 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 Slut!
Wow, I was so sad because we didn't have Bean a second ago, and Lisa didn't know that we had you back, Bean.
Right.
So when I said the 27th of Slut-tember, she started clapping and doing the slut thing.
Right at the same time that it actually went.
And she almost, it was like she thought the words were coming out of her own mouth.
I did for a second.
Dude. Well, she's uniquely qualified,
yes,
I'll tell you that.
Is. Yes, she is.
Lisa, you've been following it more closely than I have. How do you not convict Phil Spector based on the evidence that was presented to the jury? How do you not send that man away? How is he a free man today?
Well, of course, it's easy for us to sit back where we haven't seen the trial and make these decisions, but I am baffled as well. Two of the jurors actually believe she probably committed suicide.
Okay.
Which seems insane.
Let me just back up a bit, because I haven't been paying attention to this story at all. Phil Spector was on trial for murder.
Right.
He got off?
That's right.
Not yet.
Mistrial. Mistrial. They're going to retry him.
They're going to have to do it again.
The jury was deadlocked. I mean, how can you...
I don't know.
You're right. We weren't on the jury. We didn't see the evidence. But how can a reasonable person suspect that a woman is going to get picked up in a bar, go to a guy's house, and 2 hours later end up committing suicide standing in front of his door with a purse on her shoulder?
No, that makes perfect sense.
And they have the driver of his limo running out saying, "My boss just killed somebody."
Phil Spector walks out and says to his driver, "Oh, right. I think I just killed someone." And she shot herself in the face, we're supposed to believe.
Yeah.
And he had the blood splattered on him. I mean,
what was the,
this is crazy.
You could look back at the OJ case, which, by the way, we did watch, you know, every second of.
Yes.
But you could look back at that and you could say, okay, the jurors jumped on this. They jumped on Mark Furman. They jumped on the glove didn't fit. They jumped on a few things to give them an out. Was there something like this in this case? Because it sounded to
me,
I'm not following the case, but it sounded to me like it was a slam dunk.
There were a couple of jurors who gave interviews afterwards, and they said they would have appreciated more of a psychological profile on the actress, Clarkson, who killed herself, to find out if this is something that she would have been, you know, likely to do.
Right.
They didn't think there was enough blood on Phil Spector if he had shot him, even though they all admit that, you know, that he was close enough to her to have shot her. They still think there should have been more blood. So there are a couple little things like that, but they do say that his fame, you know, his notoriety, celebrity – and whether they knew who he was or not, they certainly would have learned during the course of the trial, you know, based on the media attention and everything else, that he's, you know, that he's a celebrity. They say that didn't have anything to do with it.
But don't you get the idea that
it did,
just one second.
Because it seems like his celebrity, like people like me, I wouldn't care.
Right.
And I don't think anyone under, you know, 50 would let him off because of his celebrity. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how old the jurors were, but usually they're older than that.
Yeah.
Let's face
it. Yes, Lisa. Sorry.
Well, it also seems like in these celebrity trials, they have an awful lot of money. And they
hire these lawyers
who just throw so much crap at the jurors that you get the feeling their heads are just spinning at the end and they can't wade their way out. It's just so much stuff.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
We'll see. Maybe the defense learned a little bit, or the prosecution, rather, learned a little bit. on this trial, and they'll do better next time.
You imagine waking up this morning being the prosecutor going, wow, that was a slam dunk I lost.
I also think a lot of times, you know, put yourself in the put yourself in the shoes of the juror. You got to be, most people would be a little bit trigger shy to convict someone of murder. I mean, because you're essentially fighting fire with fire, and a lot of people don't have, you know, the heart to do that.
They didn't have a manslaughter option either, by the way, which I think probably would have resulted in a conviction.
Oh, what was the charge? It was just murder?
Murder.
Yeah, it was attempted murder, murder, I guess.
If they would have changed it to manslaughter, you think they would have got a guilty?
I think that's more likely. I mean, I think the people who, you know, believe he was involved but don't know for sure if he pulled the trigger might have been likely to give him a manslaughter, but who knows? I mean, we're just speculating.
Here's a gun. Put it in your mouth and, I don't know, pull the trigger. Go ahead.
Let's see what happens. That'd be cool.
Does manslaughter means
you slaughter
a
man.
He killed her, but
he didn't mean to.
He didn't mean to. It was an accident.
Yeah. Yeah, was it like premeditated, right? Like, my plan is to kill you, right?
Yeah, that really seems like that would have stuck.
Shouldn't Phil Spector get the death penalty just for his hair?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there's
really?
No question. If the judge should have come and said, we got a mistrial in this, but Mr. Spector, because of your ridiculous wigs, which are a mockery of our legal system, we're going to have to ask you to go to prison for life.
If you don't know who Phil Spector is, you have to do a search on Google and find his hair is stupid, stupid funny.
It's insane, and his wigs are worse.
Oh.
He has a bunch of them, and I don't understand. I thought the point of wearing the hair pieces was to make people think you had hair. And if you show up with an afro one day and then like a little Rodney Bingenheimer page boy bowl cut the next, I mean, people can tell that it's not your hair, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that was spectacular.
I love the little blonde page boy. Oh, that's adorable.
It's hilarious.
Didn't you just want somebody, though, in the courtroom to just run over to him and grab the hair and run? Just take off with it.
That would be great.
And I want to remind you again, one more note on Phil Spector. And again, they are going to retry it, so it's not over yet. But he has a ridiculously hot 20-something-year-old wife who married him after he shot the chick in the face.
Listen, OJ has a girlfriend, for God's sakes. Same thing.
But at least people know who OJ is. A 20-something, she has no idea who Phil Spector is.
She does now.
Just that he's that guy who killed that chick.
No, because when Bean's saying that she met him after he was on trial, right?
Right, but I mean, she didn't know him. It's not
she didn't know his career. But...
Yeah, exactly.
No, but
she knows he's got a lot of money.
Isn't it enough for you, Lisa? I mean, we say we're too picky. Isn't it enough for you that a guy's on trial for murder?
Wouldn't for me, yes.
Like a little red flag?
But you think they might, like OJ Simpson. He's famous.
But he was huge, famous, likable, blah, 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 sports before all of that happened.
Scott Peterson, who is famous only for killing his wife and unborn child, I was just reading an article in U.S. News & World Report just like 2 weeks ago about how he's flooded with female fan letters and these little girls that are just in love with him.
And if you're his current girlfriend and you show up every day to sit in the courtroom with him, even if you don't know anything about his past, when witness after witness gets up there, woman after woman gets up there and says, oh, yeah, he threatened to kill me, too. Oh, yeah, he pulled a gun on me. Oh, yeah, I saw him do this a bunch of times. Isn't that a red flag?
Well, you would think. Yeah.
You would think.
But she was probably distracted by his hair. She probably couldn't hear the word, the courtroom, that sounded wah, wah, wah to her.
And his money, because if he were convicted, where would all that property and money go?
Wife,
right?
Oh, that makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so she's the most disappointed person in the room then.
Yeah, probably.
Because now he's coming home again?
Good times.
Well, it was crazy. Mistrial. Mm-hmm. Crazy. I should have been on that jury.
Yes, you should have, actually.
I hate to say that.
But, all right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Jimmy Kimmel on the program today.
Always been.
He's got the San Gennaro Festival going on starting tonight.
Great.
He's got his Jimmy Kimmel Live. Last night, I don't know if you saw Bean, but he played a clip from Newport Harbor. And I got to tell you that MTV is living on the backs of really, really stupid people.
Yeah.
Sure. Stupid, pretty, rich people. Yeah.
In Orange County.
Yeah. So here's two girls on Newport Harbor. Jimmy played this clip on his show last night. And they're trying to plan a European vacation. They're going to go to Europe. Just not sure exactly where or what they want to do for their vacation.
Like, where would you want to go?
I want to be, like, near water, you know?
I want to go to, like, the beaches. I don't really want to go to, like, Ireland and up in, like, the land. Ooh, like, that's pretty, but, like,
yeah, Rome.
Is Rome, like, a country? Or is that... Or, no, not Rome. Is Italy a country?
I don't know. I think it's, like, a state here.
Italy would be, like, awesome.
Yes.
It almost sounds like rum instead of Rome.
Those are my favorite people in the world, I think.
Is Italy, like, a country?
I don't watch.
God. Is Rome like a country? Is what she said first.
That's true.
I don't watch Newport Harbor.
I
just about have my fill of that style of television with The Hills. That's all I can handle. I can't handle another one.
I can't watch The Hills. I don't know why. I love Bad, but The Hills drives me out of my mind. I want to put a gun in my mouth when I'm watching The Hills. But Newport Harbor, it's
infuriating.
For some reason, I don't know. MTV has really zeroed in on stupid Orange County chicks.
What MTV's done is
well off, by the way, with well off families.
They're just going down PCH and trying to find like dumber pockets of America. Like,
they're all there.
Yeah,
they're all there. They all want to be on TV.
Oh my God!
Is Italy a country?
Is Rome a country? She said first. That's spectacular.
And then they decided Italy's just a state.
It's a state, like here.
Just a state. Of what, though? I guess. Country of the European Union, but I'm sure they weren't thinking of that.
No, are you kidding? That was awesome. So we got Jimmy Kimmel on the show today. We also have Petros Papadakis on the program.
I love Pete.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw. Bean and I have been way out in front trying to warn the world of something, and the world is not paying attention. And
no, they're not.
But the monkeys are taking over. They're taking over.
By the time they get here, it'll be too late.
We are going to be monkey slaves.
Yeah.
And it's happening in South Africa right now. I don't know if you've seen the video on YouTube. But they're not even acting like monkeys anymore. You know, normal monkeys would like to find a window open in a car and jump in. These monkeys, these baboons are walking up to a car. They know what the door handle is. They reach up, pull the door handle, open the door, and get in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like,
excuse me. Screw that. I saw the video of the monkey hot-wiring a car to steal it. I mean, that's really taking it to the new level.
So
we got to get into that today. If you haven't heard the Oklahoma State head coach who lost it, that's always fun.
Yes.
It's always fun to see somebody in a position of power and responsibility just melt. Would love that. There's a lawsuit against God. I don't know if you've seen this.
That's interesting.
Somebody suing God for, I don't know, weather and everything bad that happens.
Okay.
And who do you hope to get money or recourse out of if you sue God, though? I don't understand
God,
the point of that.
That's
but
who.
How? But what? You just and then you expect to go out in your front yard and there's going to be a case of cash or something if you win? I mean, what?
And then in a weird twist, a lawyer in Texas filed a brief on defense of God, in defense of God.
Well, he certainly thinks he's important if he thinks he's God's attorney.
So anyway, it's a nutty, nutty case. And we'll tell you about that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Courtney Love has her new perfume. Good times with that.
Yeah.
And Velvet Revolver, Alice in Chains. We're giving away tickets all week long, plus VIP invites to the party with the band at the Rainbow Room on Sunset Strip. So that's all coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
We had Dave Grohl in the studio the other day talking about the new Foo Fighters CD, and we mentioned, I think Kevin brought up that they're doing an all Nirvana music episode of the Cold Case show over there on CBS. Ralph, I know you're a big fan of that show.
Good show.
And you should have seen Dave's face. He's like, well, I'm sure glad we recorded those songs.
I can put it on Cold Case.
Maybe it wasn't what they had in mind at the time.
Oh, it sure was. I hope they use this on a CBS procedural drama.
I talked to him on the hall, and he said that some other guy bought the rights. Some company, just like a publishing company or whatever, bought the rights to the Nirvana song, so he didn't even have them anymore.
What?
Wow. So he's shame? I guess they can do that. I wasn't in on it, though.
They own it. All right. 5:52. Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz beat. Ralph, what the hell is going on?
Oscar De La Hoya can't catch a break about his cross-dressing past. X17Online.com has just launched a new set of pictures showing the boxer wearing ladies' lingerie and promises that another young lady named Maria is ready to step forward and give more details about how he likes to play dress-up. If you haven't seen the new photos, it's Oscar in white fishnets this time. He's wearing a lovely little skirt, a little short skirt number, and a bikini top.
Do you prefer him in the white fishnet or the black fishnet?
I like the white. I like the white. I know it's not the common choice, but I think it's sexier because it's different.
Okay.
Even after Labor Day, though, Ralph, you're okay with the white?
Oh, in the boudoir, being anything goes.
Kevin, go to the sites section of Kevin and Bean, krock.com, and take a look at we do have one of the new Oscar pictures that's posted underneath the ones from yesterday.
Fantastic.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but it is up there.
We are good.
Yeah.
New York Daily News says that sources tell them a few years ago during a Victoria's Secret fashion show, Oscar stripped down to his underwear and tried on a set of the angel's wings that the girls were wearing on the runway.
Really? Okay.
While screaming, I'm the devil in disguise.
I'm the devil in disguise.
Oscar's gone bye-bye. You seeing him in the skirt?
It's got a lovely décolletage on the bottom there, which I think is just
the very bottom picture.
Spectacular.
At krock.com, they have photoshopped my head on Oscar De La Hoya's body.
What?
It looks so good.
It really looks like me.
Radio listeners, pardon me while I walk around the other side of the table here to see this.
Yeah, you have
You got to see this.
It's amazing.
It's really well done. Did lighting do that?
It is.
No, as a listener. Lister was hearing our conversation about what you could do with Photoshop and said, here's what I did with Photoshop, and it's Kevin.
It's me on Oscar De La Hoya. But see, I'm with the black...
that's spectacular.
The black fishnet. I prefer the white as well.
That's spectacular.
Well, maybe again, go
the new
to...
Photos,
that's
too.
A good work.
KRock.com, Kevin Amin section in the sites page, and then scroll down through the Oscar pictures. It's the last one.
I am going to distribute that photo throughout the internet.
That's awesome.
Los Angeles DJ, out of closet as crossdresser.
By the way, you could really do a lot with that. I mean, it looks perfectly real.
Well, maybe Oscar's
maybe it is.
The victim of the same sort
he
of
sure could be.
Hijinks.
Although
I think that was the dude's point, is that it's possible to make them look great. I mean, he's got the hair and everything in this photo Kevin does. You know?
Well, I do. I'm rocking it.
Well, that's actually Kevin in his wig from Rockstar. That's why it looks familiar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not in that movie.
Do you remember Kevin's hair in Rockstar?
Oh, yeah.
It is spectacular.
It was like Rodney-esque, wasn't it?
He's got like a Farrah Fawcett flip to it. It's just spectacular.
I didn't know.
He's a fag.
No, come on.
I didn't know they were in it. And I came across that movie the other day and about had an aneurysm when I'm watching the movie and all of a sudden there's Kevin in his flowing teased wig.
Yeah.
Bean's got a full Morrissey pompadour going on, and Kevin's got the flowing wig. It's pretty spectacular.
It was a bad movie, and we were in it for 3 seconds.
You were just as good as the movie was, by the way.
But at least I think we were worse. Yeah. I mean, we were bad. And we took all day to shoot that one scene, Ralph, as you know. It takes forever.
Yep, it's ridiculous how much time it
takes
to shoot.
Takes that long to do something that you could really be embarrassed of.
Now you know... You can once you've done it, you really do believe that no one knows they're making a bad movie.
Yep.
Because everyone
yep,
works so hard, and it takes so much time and effort to get that stuff down on film. That
even the bad stuff.
Yeah, and you can't believe that anyone goes into it thinking, oh, this is just going to be crappy. Because you wouldn't spend that much time and effort into something you thought was a total waste of time.
Right.
You really never know until the final product comes out.
I think reading the script might be the last point where you realize, you know, whether it's good or bad.
Even then,
horrible.
There's a lot that can go bad between the page and the screen, you know. There's a lot of execution things that can go wrong that...
Jennifer Aniston was all over me. It was embarrassing.
That was the roughest part
really
of it.
Rough.
Sure, yeah. Oh, Bean. Sorry, buddy.
What? What's going on?
People Magazine caught Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens holding hands strolling through Hollywood on Tuesday.
Ah, Bean.
Apparently he's not single anymore?
They may have reunited.
Guess I got to get back in line.
Sorry, the band just got excited.
I guess so.
Gay. Sorry, it was an accident.
That's okay. Here's a reason people hate celebrities. Naomi Watts has announced she's already lost her baby weight.
Oh, my God.
What's it been?
When did she have the baby?
2 weeks.
Yesterday.
Two weeks ago. In Touch
Not
Magazine
right.
has photos of her, and she's dropped the baby weight after only 2 weeks.
What did she gain, 5 pounds?
I have no idea.
Doesn't seem healthy at all.
She gained only the weight of the baby. That's all she gained. Yeah, that's not acceptable. The thing is, when you're rich and you got a lot of free time, you bring in your own personal chef who makes you the perfectly balanced meals, and you got your trainer working your ass out 8 hours a day.
Even so, 2 weeks.
And breastfeeding knocks a lot of that off, too, but still.
Oh, yeah, 2 weeks is ridiculous.
I'd like to see that. I'm glad that American women do not try to emulate celebrities and feel inadequate because of the things that celebrities do, though.
No, that never happens.
That is
happens.
Good.
You're right. Eric McCormick from Will & Grace has a new gig, just announced in The Hollywood Reporter yesterday. He will be starring in a new series for TNT. They're doing a lot of good dramas over there on TNT.
They are,
you got The Closer, and you've got
Saving Grace,
which is real good with Holly Hunter.
I don't watch those.
This one's called Truth in Advertising. He will play an advertising exec in Chicago, apparently. Speaking of advertising, have you been watching The Mad Men over on AMC?
No.
That show
I like it, but I think I lost the thread of it somehow. I missed a couple, and now I'm out.
Oh, you're insane. It's created and written by Matthew Weiner, who created was one of the writers.
I'm sorry. What was the name?
Oh my God.
Matthew Weiner.
His name is Matthew Weiner? Honestly.
Maybe it's Weiner. I know. It's Weiner.
That's Weiner, dude.
I'm sure he doesn't pronounce it that way. I'm sure
of course
he says
not.
It's Weiner.
This has been a battle his whole life.
Anyway, he was one of the writers for The Sopranos.
Anyway, nothing. His name is Weiner.
This guy was a writer for The Sopranos. Doesn't Trump his name being Weiner to you? Don't hear anything more, dude.
No, his name is Weiner.
I'm saying he's got an excellent pedigree. The show, if the show was on HBO or Showtime, it would be
huge buzz. But
it is very good.
Because it's tucked in over there at AMC, which is traditionally a cable channel that runs reruns of classic movies.
Right.
It doesn't get the exposure. But it's just so brilliantly done. And they've just apparently ordered another season. So there'll be a second season.
It's very disturbing,
fantastic.
Too. It really is. The
it's also...
I mean, it's so true to the 50s.
That's why it's great.
I know.
Because there's tons of like sexual harassment to the women who work there. And
it's just awful.
Everybody's like banging their secretary and then like being real rude to them afterwards. And
You can't believe how much they drink and smoke, Kevin. In every single scene, I mean, 10 o'clock in the morning, guys are pouring vodka in their office, and nobody blinks an eye. It's just that's just how they do it.
Every executive's office comes stocked with a fully bar at this place.
That works.
It's the best. I want a time machine now
that
so
works.
I can go back there and just
1960
smoke and
is your year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Oh, so good. Congratulations, Shia LaBeouf. His career continues to be on a roll. Paramount has just announced there will be a Transformers sequel.
Sure.
They are setting up Transformers 2 to be released on June the 29th, 2009. The weekend before 4th of July for that year. So he's pretty booked up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say 2009?
I did, sir.
Okay.
And
now, Russ, you're the Transformers fan. Are there stories still to be told? Are there different robots that can now be fought?
Oh, you have no idea, my friend.
Yeah?
So many Decepticons we haven't seen yet.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Can't wait.
And it's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Hoff.
David Hasselhoff will have a new TV series on E!
Really?
Yes. It is entitled Tales of the Hoff and will be a scripted comedy about his own life, like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Awesome! What do you mean, boo? That's going to be horrible.
Scripted.
The producer? Who came up with the idea?
Matthew Weiner?
I wish. Another Weiner. Ryan Seacrest.
Oh.
This has everything.
It has everything bad in one tidy package.
All wrapped up in a bad bowl.
Here's the thing people don't understand is the reason we laugh at Hasselhoff's life is because he's such an ass. It's funny to laugh from the outside. Because
he doesn't get it.
Right. Making him try to get it and to do a scripted comedy about his life on the inside, it's going to be horrible.
Nobody on that show has any talent if they don't name it.
This is a mess.
That's true.
That should
that
be
would
the name of the show.
If they did it like Breaking Bonaducci, that would be the best show ever.
Right.
But they're going to do it like Curb Your Enthusiasm, where he's all clever and witty and goes through his wacky life.
I think either way will be horrible.
It's going to blow beyond comprehension. And I couldn't be happier that those two guys are involved in it.
That's what she said.
What the?
Yeah!
And then lastly, some sad news. Monday night at a Smashing Pumpkins concert in Vancouver, a man died at the concert.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Heard the new album?
He was...
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
See, here it says right here, police pulled the man out of the mosh pit or crowd surfing when something went horribly wrong. And then Ralph wrote, apparently they played three of their new songs in a row. That was going to be...
You know,
my
as that
line.
Was coming out of my mouth,
yeah.
I knew that it was wrong.
Yeah. See, that was my punchline.
Well, here's the thing,
Ralph. And Bean jumped a new album, so that takes the steam. It takes the wind. If I was a sailboat and I needed wind to propel me through choppy seas, Bean just removed all the wind.
Well, but this is the first day that you've done story joke.
It's a new format, so I could see why Bean would feel obligated to jump in.
Exactly.
Because he's just trying to bring the funny.
But we'll get used to it.
You know? If I was funnier, Bean wouldn't have to supplement my comedy.
That's correct.
It's my fault.
That is
I take responsibility.
Okay,
it's about me.
You ruined that
story. Bean, I reject you totally.
I'm sorry.
It's all me. But at least it was my last story and my kicker. So now we can go full steam ahead into the birthdays.
We could go back and just act like it never happened and you could read it fresh.
Do it.
Can we go back 10 years and pretend I never took this gig?
Sorry, we can't do that.
I didn't think so. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Wilfred Brimley. Is still alive, believe it or not.
Wow.
He's 73. Best. He's been 73 for the past 20 years, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wilfred Brimley, you know him from Cocoon. And also, he was in The Natural. Remember, he played the manager, the baseball manager in The Natural?
Barely. He's one of those guys that just has always been old to me.
But he is. He's always been old.
Yeah.
I think he did a little thing in The Closer this last season, too. I think he played her dad.
I think he jumped from 20 to 73, and he's been that ever since.
And I know he sells some sort of diabetes product on the
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever see him in commercials. You should test your blood. I'm like, all right, Walrus. Meatloaf, speaking of big fat dudes, is 60 years old today. Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind is 43. Gwyneth Paltrow celebrates her 35th birthday today. Avril Lavigne is 23 years old today. But the reason we celebrate, the reason we got out of bed this morning, the reason we that Bean stepped all over my jokes is because Greg Hamm, the sax player for Men at Work, is 54. Men at Work. 54.
What kind of cue do you need, Mike? Hit it!
Start again. Hang on. Do that again. Do the Men at Work thing again. Do the Men at Work.
Greg Hamm, sax player for Men at Work.
See,
there's
work there. There's Greg there. Dean, you remember when you got a jaywalking ticket? We went to court and pled insanity?
I do.
Remember who was in the court with us?
Oh, yeah. Lead singer of Men at Work, Colin Hay, was there.
Colin Hay. Oh, goofy
eye. He was there for a traffic ticket
Colin
on the same day.
We were looking over like, that guy's goofy eye. That's the Men at Work guy.
And he was looking over, but you didn't know it because he looked like he was looking at the front door.
He was looking at both of us.
Can't tell. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You know, I was looking at this story, Kevin, that you tipped me off to about the Nebraska state senator who's suing God, and I think it's a good idea now that I've had some time to
think
about
it. You think it's a good
idea? I do. This state senator, Ernie Chambers from Omaha, I think it's a good idea because don't you think that politicians are too popular these days?
Yeah,
I mean, isn't that the problem, is that everybody loves everything they do, and it's time to bring it down to earth a little bit. It's time to do something that brings politicians back down a little bit in the popularity polls.
The story that we caught was written by Mike Kelly, a Metro columnist for the Omaha World Herald, and we have him on the phone right now. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa. This isn't the McNeil Lehrer show?
No, no.
Sorry to say. You'll notice a lot of difference in the next few minutes, my friend. So what's the deal? This Ernie Chambers, before you tell us about this lawsuit that you wrote about in your paper, is this guy, I mean, do we already know that he's some sort of a certified nut job, or up until this point has he been a pretty regular dude?
Just the opposite. Ernie, by no stretch, is a kook. He's brilliant, but neither is he a regular politician.
Okay.
He has served, he's the only black in the Nebraska One House legislature. He has served longer than anyone in the history of the state, almost 38 years,
wow.
Although he's being term limited next year.
Right.
Probably the most...
Wait a minute, what's the term limit? 39 years?
38 years.
What the hell?
Really?
You can't serve more than 38.
What kind of term limit is that?
Because at that point, it just gets crazy.
You can have 38 years, but after that, you're out.
No, term limits were voted in Nebraska, many believe, to get rid of Ernie.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow.
How about that? Okay.
When I say he's brilliant, I'm not saying he's popular. He's very popular with the people that he represents, and I think a lot of other people respect him very much, but a lot of people, he just gets under their skin every day.
But he's suing God. He says God has made terroristic threats against the senator and his constituents, inspired fear, caused widespread death, destruction, terrorization of millions upon millions of Earth's inhabitants.
That's right.
Take a breath, Kevin.
Woo!
Ernie, among other things, is also very funny, and he told me the humor is the oil of life. I couldn't live without it. But he's always got a point behind everything that he does, too. Although he's either atheistic or agnostic, he knows the Bible frontwards and backwards and quotes it for his uses in the legislature.
And his point is what? Just that there's too many frivolous lawsuits?
That's part of it. He says that anybody can sue anybody,
that's
including
true.
God, but not every wrong has a remedy in court. And the reaction to this, a lot of people in Nebraska, I think, oh, there goes Ernie again.
Yeah.
But there have been stories literally all over the world about this. It's quite funny.
Right. You know, he does bring up a good point to show that you can sue if you want, but sometimes the courts are not able to handle the dispute that you have in mind. And I guess that's what the point is. I'm just surprised that somebody in Nebraska, with our limited knowledge of your state, could be elected so many times being outwardly saying I'm agnostic or atheistic. I mean, I would think that would be – a lot of people wouldn't vote for him because he doesn't believe in God.
Keep in mind, it's not a statewide election. You know, he represents the district. It's a predominantly black district. And Ernie has done a lot. You know, some people, his critics, say he hasn't done enough for the people in his district. Most of the people in his district love him.
Now, the story goes on, if I'm not mistaken. There's some kind of a lawyer in Texas that filed a defense on God's behalf. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. There's been,
the hell?
There's been amicus briefs filed by a number of people.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Friend of the court.
Okay, so some random guy heard about the lawsuit against God and filed a defense?
There have been a number of them. People tried to jump in, and none of them are as clever as Ernie. But one of them, it was quite humorless. but they'd have one funny thing. The witness was St. Michael the Archangel. That was a nice touch.
That's quite a list. And didn't another guy say that that it couldn't go on because God had not been served a subpoena?
Oh, right. That's right. And Ernie, in his lawsuit, Ernie said that he hadn't been able to serve it by any normal means, including calling, come out, wherever you are.
I think
Ernie, this guy.
He needs to move to California. I think we need this dude. Look, he doesn't believe in God, I guess, but if you did, you have to recognize how futile it is to go up against him. I mean, he's going to win. He's got access to the best guys, right? I mean, it seems like God could put on a hell of a defense.
That's right. And as I said, you know, I like Ernie. But I wouldn't want to, you know, stand too close to him after filing this lawsuit.
Sure, that's a good point. Yeah. Mike Kelly is the Metro columnist for the Omaha World Herald, where you can find that story. Fascinating stuff. Thanks for coming on, Mike, and giving your spin. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye. All right. You know, we asked for a rebuttal, and Producer Lightning fired up the hotline to heaven first thing this morning. It should be warmed up by now. Let's see if we can get up there and find out maybe if we can see what God has to say about all this now that we've heard from Mike.
Good morning, my children.
Oh, this is God?
It is.
Fantastic.
Oh, hey, God.
Hi, Lisa.
I don't know how long you've been listening.
Stop doing that thing, by the way, that you do.
Don't tell her to stop.
Okay. Look, if God says stop, you stop.
You have no idea how twisted it is.
Really?
Wow. It's a crime against me.
I'm sorry.
She's a freak.
Have you been listening, God, to the story about this guy suing you?
I listen at all times, Kevin.
Oh, that's not good news.
To everything,
all over the world, right? You hear everything that goes on.
I am omnipresent.
Right. Okay.
So I have heard, yes.
What about State Senator Ernie Chambers from Omaha, who has filed this lawsuit against you, God?
He's got some nerve.
Yeah, well.
He does.
Claiming that I'm responsible for terroristic threats against him. I work in mysterious ways, Mother Effer. You're not supposed to know. So I have heard of this lawsuit and will be responding in time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My lawyer and I will be filing a countersuit.
Who's your lawyer?
Gloria Allred.
Of course. Of course. And the countersuit?
We have a hard time appearing in court because they have a hard time swearing me in. I have to say, I'm going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me, me.
Right, yeah. You know, I would imagine the bigger problem is that even though you're God, Gloria Allred feels like she should get all the camera time.
Yes, she insists on first billing. It's frustrating. But I will file a countersuit against all the blacks.
What?
Well, you can't. Well, what are you doing?
I'll show this guy.
No. This is just one random dude.
Right. And he's blaming me for the weather and the darkness and earthquakes and floods.
Right.
Well, I'm suing all the blacks.
For what?
Tyler Perry movies. Medea's family reunion. F you. And Norbit. You ever sit through Norbit?
No.
That makes what Lisa does late at night look like a walk in the park in terms of perversions. And Wayne Brady, don't forget the effing lyrics. Screw you. Oh, those blacks.
Come on, God. Now it's time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. You can call and leave a message 24 hours a day on any topic.
Huh? What? 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 In the butt?
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Samwell, sure.
Samwell, gayest video ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Got a record deal. record deal.
Kidding. Oh, my God.
This town is the best, by the way. Think about how many really talented, hardworking musicians who have just been dedicated to their craft for years, trying to get a record deal, trying to get anyone to even listen to music. Samwell does the what in the butt gets a deal.
Look, here's the thing. You either have to be great or horrible. That's the problem.
Yeah, if you're in between,
if you're
out
in the
of
middle,
luck.
Then you're out of luck. No one cares.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Well, I may have something different. I don't know.
Different thing altogether.
Hey, I was driving through downtown, and I saw this Chinese noodle company. Mm-hmm. It's called Whacking Noodle Company. Whacking Noodle Company. Isn't that funny? Whacking Noodle.
Here's what I like about that guy. A lot of explanation there. Doesn't think we get it. You guys get it? You understand? Do you get it?
Yeah, Courtney Love's perfume is called Vagina Amphetamine.
Oh, that's a good scent right
it
there.
It is, yeah.
Dave the King of Mexico watched a bunch of the new TV shows, and we had him on reviewing them a couple days ago.
Hey, Dave, you missed one new show for the new season you got to review. It's a
about these 12 guys. They give them all these tests, like putting a ball through a hoop, dribbling. And at the end, they're always voted out of the playoffs. It's called the Clippers season.
See what he did?
Has Dave already started talking up the new Clipper season?
He has not yet, because I will punch him in his face.
And this year, even he's like, I don't know. Things aren't looking good for me. It's pretty bad. Well,
they got rid of Elton Brand, right?
Well, they didn't get rid of him. He's out for the season.
Not playing. Out for the season, right, yeah.
But he's not. Oh, wait, he is good. All right. So that he is in a lot of trouble.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Lisa. May.
Yeah.
Hey, Bean. I just got blazed.
Yeah, might be a little different.
He may not understand what the blazed was we were talking about yesterday. We actually had
he's different.
He's not a rapper, really, as much as he is. Well, he's not a musician. It's hard to say what he does.
Oh! Oh! It burns! It burns!
Yeah?
I just got blazed! It burns!
Here's a little taste of this guy.
I get up every morning and make my own bed. I'm down to earth. I don't have a big head. For enjoyment, I like to shoot some hoops. But not until I eat all my Fruit Loops.
Come on. That's the guy who needs a deal.
We talked to him yesterday. He has been pursuing his career as a rap artist for over 20 years. He's made over 100 songs and videos, I think. And you cannot dampen this guy's enthusiasm. Even 20 years on, he still believes he's got something to say, and damn it, he's going to say it.
Hey, Lisa. I think I officially nicknamed my penis Bruise.
Bruise.
So why don't you get ready to pound some Bruise? Woo! Oh, Nelly. Yeah. All right.
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some Bruise.
And finally, we were talking about Oscar De La Hoya and the photos that were taken with him and a hot chick, and he's wearing all kinds of lingerie.
Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Shower Boy.
New nickname?
No, just Golden Boy. By the way, we didn't mention this yesterday because I didn't want management to take the photos down because I wanted people to be able to have a chance to see it. But that first photo of him with the chick that we put up at KRock.com, she's clearly showing nip. You guys saw that, right?
No.
No. What do you do? Yes. Use a magnifying glass?
If I have to, if that's what it takes, yes, I do.
Oh, my God.
Whatever it takes.
I do what's ever required for due diligence, but I just know what tight asses our company is about putting stuff like
up
on the site.
Right.
She's totally showing nip. We're also, you know, concentrating on Oscar and his lingerie that we forget to look where the action is.
You're absolutely right.
So clearly see it now before it's gone.
And I don't know. I don't know if you've seen this defense, this YouTube defense online. Have you seen the guy?
Leave Oscar alone. You don't know what he's going through right now. What's wrong with a man trying to impress his girlfriend while wearing lingerie? What's wrong with that?
Well, that's kind of gay. Never mind.
And now, a moment with Bean. Former UFC welterweight champion, of course, star of his own show on the...
Delivery.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow, the reviews were coming in fast on that one, weren't they? That was with Matt Hughes from UFC. Nicely done.
That was yesterday, so it's not like all of these are from when we started out and we were bad. We're still bad. We're still making them.
You guys have a fresh farm of them out there.
We do.
You just raise
hundreds
of people out there picking them. You got immigrant workers out there in the fields just picking out those moments. Good stuff.
You're right. Yeah. It's 6:54. By the way, our old friend the P, Petros Papadakis, is going to be joining us in the 7 o'clock
hour. Did you just call him an old femme?
Yes. He did.
How dare you,
friend? Oh. Petros, what are you going to be talking about? What do you have in mind for us?
Horitos tequila and souvlaki and lots of hot dime pieces.
looking forward to it.
Now I have
to use that.
Now I have to talk into this.
Yes. Yeah.
Here's Ralph with the showbiz beat.
No. Did you see Bionic Woman last night?
I did not. How is it?
Recorded it.
Wait for Kevin to clean his mic off.
Yeah, I recorded.
He's
not cleaning his mic, by the way. That's
awesome.
The result of the Bionic Woman.
Awesome.
Oh, I didn't have time to see it. Excellent.
So glad that it didn't disappoint me.
Excellent.
It was really great. And then Life, the show that follows that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that one.
Dude. This is the one about the cop who gets framed for murder and put into a federal penitentiary for 12 years.
And then they run, and then there's a brother.
No. And then his case gets overturned. They find out that he was framed. And so he gets released, and he gets a settlement for like $50 million.
Right.
And he gets his job back. But he is sort of gotten so warped by the prison experience that he's had to like deeply immerse himself into the into Buddhism and the Zen
right
mentality. And he's like a house. He's like house a cop house.
Okay.
He's like really quirky, brilliant, sort of weird, quirky. But brilliant. Yeah, and it's just really entertaining. Cool. Really, really good show. So you might check this.
Glad to hear that.
By the way, tonight, a lot of your favorites are coming back. My Name is Earl, The Office, a lot of those shows are coming back tonight, so you can check those out.
Crazy.
Good time to be a TV viewer.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of House, I don't know if you saw House Tuesday night.
I did. Oh, it was great.
That show just blows me away every week. It's incredible how they write that stuff. I know. How do they write that stuff? Anyway.
It's almost as good as The Hills.
Well, no, no, I don't want to get crazy. I mean, it's no Hills, but still.
I did read, Ralph, and we always look forward to the first of the new fall season shows that gets canceled, and one has already been given the boot. It aired one time. It was called Nashville.
Nashville on Fox. Hey, look at that. I got a story right here in Showbiz about
that. How about that?
How about that?
Why did it get canceled? I'd never heard of it.
Because it actually took viewers away.
Was it like
no one was watching. It was absorbing viewers through the screen. It was like negative viewers. It was very odd. Yes.
What the? It's a country music version of sort
American
of American Idol.
I don't know anything about it.
No idea.
Really? That's Nashville Star.
Yeah, Nashville Star, you're thinking.
Yeah, that one's still on.
Okay. That's on the country music channel or something.
But this is what's great, because you were talking last hour about how difficult it is to make a movie and how many people have to work so hard, even if it's crappy. And think of all the people involved in putting this television show through and getting it on the air, and then to have it air once and then can't get canceled. That's gotta hurt.
It was 109th in the most recent Nielsen ratings.
Well, they had their shot.
It'll be replaced by a rerun of K-ville, which will show up on Friday night at Fox. So, you Nashville fans, sorry, man.
I like K-ville. That's cops in Louisiana.
Louisiana. That's right.
That's a good show.
And he puts hot sauce in his oatmeal. That's crazy. That's nuts. He sure is a colorful TV character.
Oh my God.
Is a colorful TV character.
Wow, that was close. Thank you, Ralph.
Was it close?
Yes, it was.
That's exactly what I meant to say.
Way close.
It was not close. Daily Variety announced they're bringing back Knight Rider on NBC.
Really?
They are going to redo Knight Rider because we live in the era of the revamped cheesy series.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yeah. Yes?
Yeah. I'll be fine.
Is he starring?
No.
I'm out.
No. No, because first it was Battlestar Galactica. That was sort of the pioneer of that, taking an old cheesy series and giving it a fresh coat of paint and turning it into something really sort of interesting and compelling. The same group of people did Bionic Woman that was on last night. And now they're going to do the same thing with Knight Rider. But Hoff will not be involved. But don't worry. Hoff's got his own project coming up.
Oh, thank God.
He's got his own deal. Ryan Seacrest is the executive producer of a new series called Tales of the Hoff.
It's time to Hassle the Hoff.
Hoff.
David Hasselhoff will star as himself in a scripted comedy based on his life, and they claim the same way that Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm is based on his life.
Larry David is funny.
Larry David is brilliant.
Yeah.
And Hoff drinks. Why wouldn't they just follow him around with a camera? Who would say, let's put him in a scripted show?
Who?
Ryan Seacrest?
Wow.
Guy with less talent than David Hasselhoff.
Here's Nashville. The new docu-soap follows a group of people as they try to make it big in Nashville's music and social scenes.
How's that going?
A docu-soap.
We should talk to them.
So it's like The Hills for Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was.
Yeah. It's The Hillbillies. It's called The Hillbillies.
Hey,
Kevin, Hillbillies.
I heard you.
All right. If you were busy having a conversation with Mike.
I heard you, dude.
If you're listening to our show or not.
I have
something else going on over there. I thought maybe you were recording your podcast on my time. Just trying to keep you interested, buddy. Gwen Stefani, she's always so thin and top physical form.
Yep.
You know why?
Nope.
It was ingrained in her by her mother. Her mother was paranoid of becoming fat and that Gwen would become fat. Because Gwen's grandmother was extremely obese.
Oh.
So mom grew up paranoid about being fat and instilled that into her little Gwenny. Apparently, Gwen's been on a diet, let me get this straight, since she was in the sixth grade.
Wow.
That's when her mom started dieting her. Stop applauding, Psycho
that
Mike.
Seems sad.
That is sad.
Nope. What is wrong with you?
Big girl, you are beautiful.
She's not big, Rodney.
She's not big.
She's very thin.
Svelte.
She's svelte. Diets in sixth grade.
She's svelte.
Yes. That girl's fat.
No, she's not. That seems rough, putting your kid on a diet in sixth grade.
Yes, it does.
That's almost
it
like does. Anna Nicole Smith. Remember when she wanted to
feed her baby?
No, it's not.
So it stays sexy.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
Sixth grade.
You have to, when you're 12, you shouldn't be worrying about your physical appearance and whether you're all svelte and sexy or not.
If you have a proclivity to get fat, you do.
Oh, stop. It's psycho, Mike.
Listen to me. She's probably just preventing her kid from being a fat kid, which is good. Not
sure. I'm not saying it's not good. I mean, I don't think people should get
but
fat.
I doubt but
there's
that
a difference
she was
between
fat.
Raising your kid in a healthy way and providing them with healthy foods and keeping them active versus putting them on a diet in
and
the sixth grade.
And watching everything
not
they eat in sixth grade. Oh,
Jesus.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin hit him.
Well, really? Sometimes you have to.
Yes. Okay.
Elton John may be in possession of kiddie porn.
Oh, no.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh, come on.
Here's the thing.
Stop whatever that is you're doing. It's not laughing. Stop
being a hyena.
Get up off the ground.
Elton John owns a photograph that was, it's a piece of art, basically.
Right.
That was photographed by a very famous photographer as part of 149 images in this installation, this photographic exhibition.
Right.
Called Thanksgiving. And one of the photos is two little girls who are naked dancing together.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
All right.
Okay, we got it.
The cops showed up at the gallery where it was being displayed and seized it to investigate whether it's child porn or not, and now they are claiming that Elton, who owns the photographic image, may be in possession of child pornography.
Now, this is something that has toured the world, right?
Yes, this collection of gallery photos.
Yeah.
Oh, this
but
is insane.
It's subjective, though. I can put a photograph in front of you, and someone will say, yeah, that's art, and the other person will say, no, it's porn. I mean, that's the problem, is somebody's making a decision somewhere along the road.
But they're just naked girls dancing. They're not in sexual positions, and sometimes nude babies, little naked babies, innocent babies, that can be artistic if you're shooting it with that in mind. Plus, not to mention, it's Elton John.
Right.
If he was going to have naked pictures of anything, wouldn't it be boys?
Yes.
He's not going to have pictures of little girls.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have it because it turns him on. Let's face it.
Not guilty. Not guilty is what I'm saying.
All right.
Not guilty.
Ralph has ruled.
Not guilty. Not guilty.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Other stories that I promised the listening audience. Did I forget anything?
I don't know. I think I got them all.
Yeah. I think I got them all. I'm going to move on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Meatloaf, the Loaf, celebrates his 60th birthday today. He's just getting better, by the way.
He's the best. I love the Loaf so much.
And by getting better, you mean still bad.
No, always good, getting better.
Writing songs that you can't listen to, is that what you mean?
Don't make me bring in Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Not going
to
happen.
I will sit here and we'll listen to all 8 minutes of it if you want.
The station has a sensor. It will not allow that on.
Stephen Jenkins, Third Eye Blind, is 43 years old.
Him either.
Gwyneth Paltrow is 35. Avril Lavigne turns 23. And Greg Hamm, sax player for Men at Work, is 54. Maybe the...
I screwed it up last hour. I didn't want to be too late. I was on an honest attempt to, be tight. Sorry. What were you going to say?
Gee, your station has a lot of problems.
Sorry.
Men at work.
Go ahead.
Greg Hamm, sax player, Men at Work. Maybe the greatest Australian rock new wave band ever.
Okay.
Now.
I've come from a land of love. Yeah.
Well, the other clip I said it had a lot of sax in it because it was the sax player's birthday.
That clip, he's resting.
He's shooting the video. I'm Ralph Garn. I walk the showbiz beat.
Have you seen the new Kanye video, Kevin?
No, I haven't. Is this newer than him screaming about can a black man get a chance on MTV? Why didn't I win?
Yes. Apparently, he was in New York doing an interview on a syndicated radio program there. I think her name is Wendy Williams. She's a popular host on a lot of the black stations. And they interviewed him as he came out of her studio to talk about Kanye. Now, here's the thing about Kanye West, the rapper, who, just set a sales record for this year with the most copies sold of any album in 1 week this whole year. I mean, he just almost a million copies of his album last week. By the way, Reba McEntire, number one this week. Kanye got bumped off by Reba McEntire, in case you're wondering. But Kanye loves Kanye. That's the one thing we know about him. We can all agree on that, right?
Sure.
So here's what Kanye had to say about his favorite subject.
I'm going to say I'm the number one artist in the world right now. I want you to document this right here, what I'm saying right now. I
am the number one human being in music. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
Now, this is kind of a continuous theme with Kanye. Every time you see him interviewed, he likes to talk about how popular he is and how much people love him. I mean, you know, he threw the big tantrum at the MTV show, you said, partly because he didn't win any awards, but partly because he thought he should have been on the big stage instead of Britney because he's a bigger star and blah, 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 blah.
Because I am number one right now. I want you to look at this camera. I have not done any drugs. I've drank a little bit, but even if I wasn't drinking, I would tell you the same thing.
I've drank a little bit.
I have drank some.
What do it take to be number one? You are in the presence of a champion.
By the way, no one's asking him any questions at this point. Please note that Kanye is interviewing himself. What does it take to be number one? Well, let me tell you. You're in the presence of a champion. He's Muhammad Ali at this point. He doesn't need an audience. He just needs a microphone.
Bow in the presence of greatness, family.
I don't care if your album is number one. How many artists out there today say things like, bow in the presence of greatness, family?
That's a lyric from Stronger, his new song Stronger.
Where it's just he says, so funny, though, that he would say that to somebody he's being interviewed by.
Yeah, where he also says to a girl, there's 1,000 yous, there's only one of me. He's really, really obsessed with him being, and you're right, nobody said, hey, who's the number one artist? No one.
Right, except for him.
Exactly.
Understand what I'm saying. It's 960. The people came out. The people have chosen. People came out and bought the album. They love the album. I can't walk down the street. Yay, we love the album. I say, man, I know it's great, isn't it? I love it, too. I love it, too. We agree.
Okay. So he can't walk down the street because of how much love and adulation he's getting from his fans, okay? Right. I love the album. I love the album. He says, I love the album. I love the album. We agree. Now he's going off on a tangent. And I got to be honest, this is the first time I've ever heard this particular way to describe something.
We like Siamese twins in that case. I don't know what that means. All I know is I'm number one. Therefore, it couldn't be a Siamese unless he was number one also. I'm number one.
What in God's name is he talking about? Who's Siamese twins?
I think what he's saying is that he's like the person who's coming up to him saying, I love your album, is just like him because he also loves his album. Let's hear that again, because maybe I have that wrong. I'm not sure.
People came out and bought the album. They love the album. I can't walk down the street. Yay, we love the album. I say, man, I know it's great, isn't it? I love it, too. I love it, too. We agree. We like Siamese twins in that case. I don't know what that means. All I know is I'm number one. Therefore, it couldn't be a Siamese unless he was number one also.
I'm going to have to think about that one.
No, that's what he's talking about. I think he's saying the fan and I are like Siamese twins, except for they're not me, because I'm number one.
I've never wanted nobody else can be. I love Kanye so much.
Isn't it a sign of lack of self-esteem if you have to spend every breath trying to tell people how important you are? I mean, isn't that like a telltale sign?
Seems a little bit, yeah.
He spends every time he gets on camera, he has to tell people how great he is.
Yeah,
it's not subjective, it's objective. He's the best, and you just have to... But who would ever say bow in the presence of greatness? Even if it's a lyric in his song, who would say that?
He's over the top. But don't rappers in general self-promote like crazy?
Yeah, but he's a whole nother level.
Yeah, I agree.
He is a whole nother level. But I have seen him in the airport. I was at the airport coming back from, I think, the Super Bowl or something. And everyone goes up and talks to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But
that's part of what's weird about this is because he did sell almost a million records and he is popular. But that's not enough. It's not enough to just be popular. He has to make sure that every person within earshot knows how popular he is at all times.
We had a guy like Dave Grohl come in who is probably more popular around the world, and maybe, arguably. But he's he's a guy who is really easygoing and he'll sign
humble,
stuff.
Modest.
And you would never hear him say, I'm the best. That's just so ridiculous.
Although he did, and I hope I'm not telling tales out of school, he did. Dave Grohl did tell us that he wanted to go to that Led Zeppelin reunion in England next month.
Yes.
And the way he told us the story was, so I got on the phone. I said, hey, remember Nirvana? that was pretty funny.
That was off the air. But he was doing that because he was obsessed with that band and wanted to get... He would never say that on his own, like
not.
Kanye.
Of course he would.
There was no interviewer there. There was just Kanye.
I know. He's the best, though. I wanted you to enjoy that as much as I did.
I love Kanye.
That looks like Petros Papadakis in the studios of the world famous K-Rock this morning.
Turns out it is.
Fox Sports lead analyst for Pac-10 football. Petros, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We had a talking to you yesterday from Mr. Weatherby again. Called us into his office again.
Regarding now, what?
you. Regarding having you on because we love
you. What's wrong with me? You guys bring money on all the time.
Yeah, but he's not Greek.
Same problem.
Oh, wait. He's not
about it.
No, he likes both of you. It's just that, see, here's what it's up against. And our new policy, by the way, is to put this on the air because, as we've been saying frequently, there's going to come a day, and it probably is going to be soon, where there's no more Kevin and Bean show. We're not going to be allowed to tell you any of this stuff anymore because we won't have a show.
Right.
They won't let us have a sports guy because people who listen to our show don't care about sports. So when we say we don't have a sports guy, but we love sports,
right.
Let's have people on that we know that are funny and interesting to talk about sports.
Basically
like
just
you.
Money or me.
Money
right?
or you, right?
Yeah.
Well, we have other people on too, but you're the two that he tells us he doesn't want to have on because...
What's wrong with us? I thought that your boss was our friend.
He is, but he's afraid that you're going to take listeners away from our station.
Because of your juggernaut radio show in the afternoon.
I mean, if somebody wants to hear the Foo Fighters, they're probably going to be listening to K-Rock,
that's
right?
What we tried to
If somebody wants to
hear me lisping and stumbling all over myself and Matt talking about global warming, they're going to be listening to us, right?
And who does, exactly. So I wanted to let you know because there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to get a hold of us.
I won't feel slighted. I won't take it personally. I know that
we won't
you guys
have email addresses anymore.
I love you dearly, and you guys have done so much for me, and I hate you
God
all.
God bless
you.
Here's why I love P the most, Bean. I didn't realize this till today, but he has a cadaver bone in his foot.
What
is that? What's a cadaver bone?
It's a bone.
It's a bone from a dead person.
In his foot. They inserted it into his foot. I was like, I didn't know you had a cadaver bone. That's cool.
It wasn't really that cool when it happened.
What was the injury? I mean, how was the injury caused that required you to have a bone replaced?
I shattered my foot in 99. Before that, I was actually, like, fast. I was right. really fast. Right. I was one of the fastest people on the team. The fastest at SC for a couple years, and no one believes me now because I just look like a big cow. You know, I have a big muffin top, and I'm farting and burping, and I have sleep apnea and all these problems.
He is a charmer.
But I used to be really, really, really fast, like faster than the black guys.
Right.
And I broke my foot real bad, and that's when I became a short yardage tailback. And because of that, you know, I never played anymore.
But they rebuilt it to try and get you to play, right?
You're the bionic man.
And here's something else
I
found out.
But I don't want to spend a lot of money. We can rebuild him.
Yeah. Here's something else I found out, Bean, is that then Petros flew to New Orleans to try out for the Saints.
Didn't try out. Just signed to have him look at it.
So he flew out there. They x-rayed it. They said, you can't play. He's like, that's what I told you. And then he stayed there for 2 months hanging out with Michael Vick, dogfighting.
Drank two cases of Dewar's.
What's Dewar's?
Dewar's scotch.
Oh, scotch. Yeah, I'm not a scotch drinker.
In a month and a half, 6 weeks, I drank two cases of Dewar's.
That's how you ended up being a fat ass.
I was like 22.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how I kind of cowed out. That was part of it, Bean.
So, Petros, how does this – is this only in the movies?
You ever been to Tommy's on Beverly and Rampart? That's a big part of it, too.
In the movies, whenever somebody gets a transplant, they get another body part put into them. Like,
it's
you got this bone put in. You got this bone put into you. Can you now dance or do stuff you couldn't do before because of it?
No, I'm legally crippled, to be honest with
you. Are you really? Do you have the little sign in your
part? No, I never got it.
Get it.
I was looking into getting it, to be honest. And I don't know why this interview is taking this turn.
I don't either. Because you told me you had a cadaver bone.
I was looking into getting it, and I remember where I was. I was getting a passport deal because I was going to Jamaica, and I was over in Westwood.
Right.
And I was coming out of the building, and I saw a father, like, taking his son, who was in a wheelchair, out of a van and you know, basically holding the kid in his arms.
Right.
And placing him in the wheelchair and rolling him out. I said, you know what, I think I'm going to pass.
I'm an a-hole. I'm going to turn around and go back.
I can walk. I mean, I can walk and do things and jump around, but if, like, we went out and ran around a little bit for, like, 10 minutes, I'd wake up tomorrow and my foot would be purple.
Right.
You know, it's just all there's metal and all kinds of
stuff. There's so many handicapped spots. There's room for wheelchair boy and there's room for you at the Costco. I mean, come on. You go to places like that. No, if you can park in the handicapped spot, do it.
Well, I'm too big of a star. I don't even drive anywhere anyway. So.
Now, we have a lot of stories that we want to get to. Let's talk about the NFL cheerleading thing. I'm not sure everybody's heard about this.
Just tell me about it. Run it by me. What are they doing? They're working out and stretching.
They're stretching and warming up
the other dudes
near the visiting team. And so the NFL is putting a ban on them, so they can't do that anymore, so that they can't distract the teams.
Well, have you seen these chicks?
Yeah, but don't you guys see them every day?
Not the other ones.
I mean, the football.
I mean, not the visiting team ones. I mean, you wear your cheerleaders out.
But
you know what I mean? They're everybody's
but how's
tired
that
of those.
Bad?
They're like the town punching bag, you know? You're tired of those chicks. But
how's that bad?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't play in the NFL.
Right.
But at SC, those girls are pretty hot.
Of course.
Right.
And they got their sweaters and they do the bounce around.
Of course.
That's
part of the fun of football.
They never spoke with us, talked to us, let alone had sex with us.
Not allowed.
If they did, I'm sure they're allowed. If they did, they would have to like run out of your house in the middle of the night out of the back, because you don't understand, like a place like USC, like a private school, the infrastructure of the school, it's like those girls want to go out with producers and actors in LA. They don't want to go out with football players. They'd be seen as slumming it.
But about the NFL.
The NFL, I don't think there's, I think it's just a distraction, you know? These dudes, you know, they start hooping and hollering and look at that! They get into that kind of thing, and then they're not warming up for the game, and then game starts and you pull a hammy.
Well, that's their fault.
Yeah. But we got the impression from this story that the reason the memo came out now is because there was an incident. There had to have been some team that had to have sent their cheerleaders in front of the other team.
Well, you remember that story about that dude Zeke Mowat back in the 80s? He was a Patriots player.
We remember that story, Pete.
Now listen.
Yeah, we got that one.
I guess
in
he was really well endowed. It was like Indiana Jones's whip or something.
Yeah.
And there was a female reporter in the locker room, and he just started like trying to hit her with it or swing it around. And it became a whole big thing, and you know, there was like some very famous quotes from that. And you know, maybe something like that. Maybe a dude was trying to bat a girl around with it in warm-ups, and that was that.
He wrap it around her neck like a hook and try to pull her through the locker room.
I actually think he...
Yeah, let's not go there.
All right, so the NFL has told them stop
doing
that.
He wrapped it around her like a fire hose and just started pulling her in.
Like a hook, taking her off stage. All right, Petros
like
Papadakis is here. He's the Pac-10 football analyst. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Barry Bonds baseball, Petros' time dogfighting with Michael Vick, and the Berkeley Tree People, all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Petros Papadakis, Pac-10 football color analyst. You're going to be doing the UCLA game.
Yeah, I'm going to Corvallis, Oregon tonight. Ooh. Hey, you know what? Go ahead and make faces, Psycho Mike, but let me tell you something, okay? The world in Los Angeles is falling apart.
Right.
Okay? The Hills Marathon is on noggin, and I watch it, and it drives. I want to tear these people apart with my teeth.
Yeah, I know.
I want to beat them. I mean, I'm not a violent, well, I am a violent
you
person,
are very
but
violent.
I haven't done anything bad to anybody in years, but those people on the hills, I want to put my knees on their shoulders and beat them until they're unrecognizable to a DA or a coroner. I mean, I hate those people.
Right.
Randy Moss is now a good teammate. I mean, the world is falling to pieces.
Right.
Nobody knows if Kobe's showing up to camp or not.
Right.
That's got to make you real happy.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to get to the solace of a place like Corvallis, Oregon, where there's sheep, there's dudes with beards and flannels and
so
overalls.
So you're looking forward to the sheep.
I love the quiet and the greenery, and I'm away from the hills.
Why don't you move out of Los Angeles if you hate it that much?
I have to work.
Oh.
He's got a job. Yeah.
Yeah, I got my family here.
There is that.
The whole deal. I don't hate Los Angeles, but I hate myself in Los Angeles.
Oh, I see.
There you go.
That makes sense.
You should be taking this up with your therapist, by the way, instead of us.
He's so old, he doesn't see people anymore.
Your therapist?
Yeah, Dr. Salib. He's this Egyptian guy that I've been seeing forever, and he's got these... I mean, his ears look like beehives. They're just so filled with hair.
Right.
And you're such an interesting guy, Petros.
Why if he's not seeing people anymore, is he still your therapist?
Well, I'm not going to go through the whole damn thing with someone else. I mean, this dude just got real old. And, you know, that's it. We're done.
Okay.
Let me ask you
one more college football question. Then we have to move on and get your thoughts on a couple other big stories in sports this week. One is, I couldn't help but notice how many points USC has scored this year. They got to be averaging over 40 points a game. It's got to be at this point, right?
I don't know.
My question to you is, this USC team, the 2007 USC team, by what score would they win against your best USC team that you played for?
I don't know.
100?
Probably a lot.
Plus or minus 100?
Well, I mean, what Pete Carroll has built is incomparable. I mean, as far as college football goes and the history of college football and the television era,
yeah,
where now everybody's on TV. I mean, they are the premier college football program probably of all time.
How does this season compare with past?
It's hard to say because it's still really early. I mean, there are a couple of zits on Miss America, as we like to say. I mean, there's a couple things that they do not do perfectly.
Right.
But they have so many people. And the thing is even if they have guys that are inexperienced, the guys that are inexperienced, you know, whether or not they're going to pan out, you know, sometimes remains to be seen. But they are always the biggest recruit from whatever state, fill in the blank, Tennessee, Michigan. And then you get all the best guys from the city of Los Angeles and California, which is a great recruiting area.
Right.
And they just have the right people. Plus, they have the right coaching. And Pete Carroll's kind of set it up now to where it's just like this hierarchy where he is like this shining god at the top.
Right.
Everything goes through him. And they really do just have a kind of an unstoppable thing going.
The University of California, Berkeley, is trying to start attracting
some. They're good, too, now. That's a good team this year.
Berkeley?
They're trying to attract some better players. And tell us a little bit about the – hold on. I actually have a theme song for this segment about the tree sitters.
Tree, tree, tree.
Very nice.
Tree, tree, tree. Tree, tree, tree.
Hold on. One more.
Tree, tree, tree.
People are living in a tree to try to stop them from building a new stadium,
here's the
Petros?
Deal.
Is
here's
that what's
the deal,
happening?
Bean. First of all, I had a friend – got on acid in high school and tried to have sex with a tree and was not pretty.
How'd that go?
Tore him up pretty good. But Berkeley, as you know, is one of my favorite places in the world. It's one of the great places to be. It's an exciting campus. And this is part of what makes Berkeley Berkeley, but this is getting pretty ridiculous. They have a very talented football coach who has changed their program. They're a top 10 team. They got a big game at Oregon on Saturday. Jeff Tedford is his name. Jeff Tedford will stay there if they fix the stadium up, which is really, really old. I mean, they have one shower in the visiting locker room that drips.
Nice.
And, you know, you have to take a shower with the head coach. I don't know if you've ever had to wash John Robinson's back.
No.
But
no.
I have. And it's not pretty.
Wow.
I washed my back, Petros.
You know, it's so quickly.
You know, I mean, the stadium needs to be renovated. Okay. They need a new football facility. They're trying to build one. They're okay to build one. They've gone through all this red tape. It's been years in the making. They're ready to break ground. And there's these trees that are supposedly old. I mean, there's trees everywhere there.
Of course.
But there's these dudes living in the trees, and they won't come out.
And they're doing it to save the trees.
They're doing
so
it to
Berkeley
save the
can't...
trees. They write things all over the streets, and I've seen them in person. I've been up there.
Oh, yeah.
They write things in the streets that say, you know, football programs do not stop global warming. Trees do! You know, I mean, so they're really pissed off. And this guy, Jeff Tedford's a great dude, great coach, does everything right, cares for the kids, makes sure they graduate, all that good stuff. And this poor guy's walking to work every day, and these people, like, throw their crap at him like monkeys.
By the way, literally.
You know, it's horrible.
I was reading this. Literally throwing
their feces. At a guy that makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year as a premier coach in college football.
Why don't they just get 22 and just pop them out of those trees?
Because it's Berkeley.
Oh.
You know.
How's it going to end, Petros? What's the result of this?
They're going to get them out. You know, they got to uproot the tree people. Pardon the pun. And they're going to build their football facility and move on from there. They need to do it. And they're a really great program. And it's a wonderful university. It's a great place to be. But, you know, you have these tree huggers up there. The guy's name is like John Running Trees, like a Native American dude, and somebody should just shoot him with an arrow, I guess.
All right, let me ask you about one more thing, and I'm sure you had a lot of fun with this on your radio show, and that is Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy with the rant he had.
Coaching rants.
Here's five seconds of it, just to give you an idea of the flavor of what he was complaining about. A newspaper columnist had written about one of his guys.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage, and the editor that let it come out is garbage.
What was your take on that?
It's hard.
Advised,
it's
or are you supportive, or what?
Well, there's going to be a lot of people in Oklahoma. A lot of these coaches that work in small towns, you know, even though they're big-time programs, they work in small towns. They really don't have to please people beyond the small town. So if you're going to sit there and get all huffed up and geek it and Bible belt it, you know, a lot of those people are going to support you. But I don't know. I'm kind of torn on this one because I'm a member of the media and I call people out all the time. But I also like to check myself from time to time and remember, like, I'm not a pro football analyst. I'm a college football analyst.
Would you say you check yourself before you wreck yourself?
I would say I've wrecked myself more often than I've checked myself.
All right.
But they are kids. You know, they're young guys, and a lot of them, you know, come from tough upbringings.
But it's Division I football.
Oh, sure.
So you're going to play quarterback?
If you're going to call somebody out, I know the quarterback that he's talking about, and he is a good kid. And if you're going to call somebody out, you know, you better make sure, you know, you have your facts straight. No, I mean, look, I mean, I get a lot of heat because I talk very poorly, even when they were in college, about Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. And for a long time, because they're a-holes. They always have been a-holes. They were a-holes, you know, once they started getting popular. And I get a lot of heat for it. So if you're going to go after college kids, you do really have to. I mean, Pete Carroll went off on me at Pac-10 Media that day about Leinart. He doesn't even play for him anymore.
Yeah.
So you have
but
to really.
What this columnist
you have to make
say,
sure
was that,
you know.
Was that out of whack? It didn't seem to me like
she said
she
that
was
he
attacking
was,
him.
She called him scared and said he was a prima donna and stuff like that. And if it's not accurate, you know, if people don't feel that way in the program, then, you know, then you're going to have to face the music. Now, whether or not her story is accurate, I don't know. I don't live Stillwater, right. Oklahoma. But, you know, it does get a little gnarly, you know, if you call somebody out and they don't like it and the coach doesn't like it, then he obviously, you know, went absolutely nuts and, right. you know, didn't have any decorum or anything like that. But he hadn't apologized or taken back his comments either.
Mm. I love that. I love it when people lose it. That's mm-hmm. my favorite thing.
Oh, it's a wonderful, my especially coaches, because, you know, that's what kind of got me about football by the end. It was like, here I am, I'm, you know, 23, 22 years old. You know, I'm trying to get my life together. I'm trying to be an individual. I'm going to school. And yet I stand here in a plastic outfit with my balls all strapped up against me every single day. And some dude is screaming at me an inch from my face, spitting all over me about stepping, you know, 1 centimeter in the wrong direction.
Right.
And everything's on film. And, you know, I make my living with football. I mean, don't get me wrong. But in a perfect world, I mean, this stuff would not exist.
Yeah.
Petros is going to be calling the UCLA game at 3:30 on
Saturday
afternoon.
Yeah, UCLA, Oregon State. The Bees.
On FSN, and of course, afternoons with our friend Matt Money Smith on AM 570. Pete's always good to
Pete,
catch up with
get
you,
yourself fired. Say that again.
I can't help it, man. Love you, dude. Thanks
Thank
for
you, guys.
In.
You guys are the greatest.
KROQ at 8 o'clock.
It's 8 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
Why am I here now?
Oh, because good time.
This should be birthday time. 8 o'clock.
We got to talking with Petros. Hey, it's KRQ FM passing Los Angeles. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us after the news. First, Ralph is here with the world's shortest showbiz beat.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. Petros is bad.
You guys familiar with this this big screen musical Across the Universe based on all the Beatles?
No.
Beatles songs?
I hear it's good.
It's in theaters now. You can go see it if you like. It's a
It's a movie or a play?
It's a movie.
Oh.
And it's sort of a far out musical. It's not your standard sort of like Chicago musical. People just start and stop singing. You know, it's got an interesting group of people. I think Bono's in it. He makes a short appearance in it. Yeah,
it looks like the kind of movie you need to be high to enjoy.
It looks
just
like
based
it would help.
On the trailers.
Looks like it would help. Maybe even some acid should be dropped before you go to see this.
Okay,
it takes place in the '60s during the Vietnam War, and it's based on all the Beatles' music.
Okay,
well, Evan Rachel Wood, who stars in the movie.
Yes.
Marilyn Manson's girlfriend, by the way.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Very.
Yeah.
Yes.
She is a huge Beatles fan.
Okay.
For a girl her age, it's kind of surprising, but she says she's such a huge fan of the Fab Four that she got a tattoo as a tribute to them.
What's the tattoo?
It is a strawberry with leaves coming out of it in the shape of a bird. Of course, for Strawberry Fields, I guess would be the homage there. She says, but she needs to get it covered up because no one can figure out what it is.
Is it not a good tattoo?
Says, people are constantly asking me, is that a ferret sticking out of an apple? So, not a successful tattoo.
She needs to get it professionally done.
We should hear from people of unsuccessful tattoos.
It's a playing card with a chick holding it.
No, dude, looks like a beer mug with a quarter in it.
Steve-O has some that we can't mention on air that you'll never see on camera, that they have to block out on camera, that are officially the worst tattoos, the most unsuccessful tattoos ever.
Really? Did you just can't make out what it is?
Some of them you can. Some of them are actually just blocked out because they're so profane and disgusting that even Steve-O said, I can't walk around with that on my body.
That's funny.
Wow, when he says that.
Yeah. Guinness Book of World Records just came out. In it, they have listed the most successful concert tour of all time, which just happened.
Most successful concert tour of all time?
Yep. Okay. Have any idea what the number one most successful money-making concert tour of all time is?
Well, clearly Hannah Montana.
Yes! No. The Rolling Stones.
Oh, sure.
Their recent A Bigger Bang tour took in, how much do you think it made?
$60 million.
All?
$437 million.
Jackpot.
Wow. God. Almost $500 million it made for the Stones.
Guys in their 60s rocking.
Guys, grandparents
wow.
up there on stage at the most successful concert tour in history.
Wow.
It's nuts.
That's amazing.
Wrong is what it is.
They still bring it, by the way. I don't know how long it's been since you guys have seen the Stones, but...
Long time.
They are very,
old.
Very good.
Old.
And old. Yeah,
yes,
both.
Yes. Very old. Elton John may be in possession of kiddie porn.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Come on.
He owns a photo of two naked little girls dancing that was taken by Nan Golden, an award-winning photographer. This is part of a much bigger exhibition of 149 images entitled Thanksgiving. And one of the photos is that of two innocent little girls playing naked.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Stop it.
Well... The picture was seized at by police at a gallery in northeastern England because they believe it's a possibility it could be viewed as child pornography. Since Elton is the owner of the piece, he is being looked at for charges as well.
Other people have owned it? Didn't get charged.
Yeah, this has been...
and it's been displayed around the world.
All over the world, yeah. In fact, it's been published in a book about artistic photography. In 2003, it was in a book.
And they're girls?
Little girls, dancing, okay. Yes. No sexual positions or anything like that. But apparently the police in northeastern England are still nervous about the photo and have contacted Sir Elton about his ownership thereof.
Well, I bet what happened is one person complained.
Sure. Yes, Lisa.
We've seen how that works.
You know,
wrote a letter to the advocate, probably.
Yeah.
It's probably CAN, that organization. Coalition Against Nudity. I hate them.
In their defense, though, the human body is gross and disgusting, and there's nothing artistic or beautiful about it, Ralph.
And there's nothing adorable and cute about two innocent little girls playing naked and dancing.
I haven't seen the picture, but this just sounds ridiculous.
Plus, Elton John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello.
If he was going to have any kind of porn, I doubt it would be feminine.
Nope.
He'd probably have a big picture of O.J. Simpson naked with his penis all hanging out in the locker room or something.
Yeah,
if he was going to be,
that's what a gay guy
that's
would
way
do.
Too that, gay,
that's
though, really.
The kind of
that's
porn
ridiculous.
A gay guy likes. Yeah. That's what he hangs in his bathroom. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, I have that. I have the naked O.J. picture in my bathroom. So no, I have to disagree with you there.
What? And
we're not kidding, by the way. He does.
Yeah. And it's gay. Yeah.
We're not kidding about that either. Star tabloid claims that Tom Cruise plans to build a $10 million bunker under his Colorado mansion where his family can survive during the coming attack on the Earth by the evil galactic ruler Xenu. No. Oh.
Yes.
All right.
No.
Thank God.
All right. All right. Tom's gone bye-bye. Talk about having too much effing money. Yeah, he wants to protect himself against the upcoming Xenu onslaught.
Fantastic.
But Xenu onslaught. Play it acoustic?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't follow the Scientology, but I thought Xenu was the good guy. I thought Xenu was the god, and when he comes down, that's good news, and he gets on the spaceship and goes away.
Gene, you don't understand. No.
What?
Xenu is the ruler that took all the aliens and threw them in the volcano. And that's the reason that their souls all escaped and adhered themselves to man at the dawn of man. It is Xenu who took all those damaged souls and placed them into our bodies, and that's why we're not clear. That's why we have all these problems.
Stupid Xenu.
Okay. So Xenu's
bad.
Right. Well, who's good in Scientology? Who's the deity?
Carrot Top.
Really?
Carrot Top is good, yes. I don't think there is one. I think it's just man. Man is good, and Xenu is inherently bad because he put all these doubts and stuff into our psyche.
Gotcha.
So go man.
Ralph at krock.com if he's wrong about that in any way.
Yeah, if I'm mistaken in my Scientology, I apologize, but not really. don't really care that much.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Meat Loaf. The Loaf, singer, actor, legend, 60 years old today. Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind turns 43. Gwyneth Paltrow is 35 years old today. And Avril Lavigne celebrates her 23rd birthday. Ooh, a little baby bell for Avril.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How over was that song? How much did that song?
No, that was good.
Was that close?
That was good. I was fine.
It's 8:15 Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us with his lady pal, Sarah Silverman. Apparently they're on the line from their palatial Hollywood Hills estate. Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Good morning. What's happening?
That's his lady pal. I've never heard of that word before.
Yeah. Jim, I know what Sarah's been doing because I see her on the TV, but are you still with the man show? What have you been up to? What are you doing now?
No. You know what? I haven't been doing that for a while. I've been doing some things here and there. And, you know, I'm starting a show on the internet.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the future.
It's really going to be great.
That's
really
good news.
Tune in tonight. Well, we have Screech is on.
Oh, dear God. The reason Jimmy asked for some of your time today is because the 6th annual Feast of the San Gennaro Festival is happening. This is something that I guess you grew up with in New York. It was always a big part of your life growing up, and you thought it's bogus that we don't have it in Southern California. And you're the dude who brought it to us, right, Jimmy?
That's right. What I'm trying to do is establish a base for the mafia in California. I should say it's the Precious Cheese Feast of San Gennaro presented by Ralph's because – it is a charity event, and they do give us money to say that. So, but it's a great event. If you're driving by the Hollywood and Highland area, you will see carnival rides set up. You will see a 9-foot-tall cannoli that will explode into an array of lights and sparks.
You don't get that everywhere.
No, you don't. No, actually, we don't have that. But we do have a lot of Italians gathering and stuffing their faces with Zeppelis.
And there are rides.
There are rides.
There are rides. All right. Jimmy, I was in Italy last week on vacation.
What?
He was.
I know. It doesn't sound like me, does it?
And Jimmy, he complained for 2 months ahead of time about how he did not want to go. I was like, that's one of the great places in the world. I don't want to go.
Hold on a second. Am I preventing?
I know. Because Jimmy and I have known each other a long time, and he knows that my vacations are, you know, a week in Kansas and stuff like that. So
yeah,
my
you
wife
intentionally
has been,
go someplace unpleasant.
Right, awful. Right.
My wife has been bugging me for years to go to Italy because she's been before, and it's her favorite place in the world. So we finally went this past week, and I couldn't help but think about you every hour. I saw something that was so you. now I get this whole Italy thing, by the way. And let me tell you, I'm the guy who you had so much trouble getting to try the gelato. When we used to go to New York back for the MTV shows.
Because
I'm an ice cream guy. What do I want with the gelato? It can't be better than ice cream. I'm telling you.
You're the guy who believes that the spaghetti at IHOP is unparalleled.
That's right.
That is true.
Well, after about 2 days in Italy, I started dreaming about gelato. I couldn't wait for my next opportunity to have gelato. And I've never had more delicious food in my entire life. It was just unspeakably good.
Isn't it the best?
Everything I ever mocked you for your Italian heritage, I'd like to apologize right now. And you go into these little restaurants all over Italy. It doesn't matter. You're in Rome or Venice or Florence, wherever you are. They all got pictures of Marlon Brando in them. And I love that about Italy.
Well, you know what? We have gelato at the feast. And, you know, I know I talk a lot about the Zeppelis, but the Zeppelis are the main reason that we started the
What is
feast.
That, Jim? I don't know what a Zeppeli is.
It's a little ball of fried dough covered with powdered sugar. Sarah will eat somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 of them over the course of the weekend.
Good. They make me feel so happy. They make me feel like I had a happy childhood.
Which you clearly didn't.
They taste that way.
All right.
They're good. Now, and we have all that stuff. Everything you could possibly imagine from everything except for the spaghetti at IHOP.
Well, I understand. Now, usually you get some of your Italian-American celebrity-type friends to be involved in the opening night, which is tonight. Who's coming down tonight, Jim?
Tonight, Danny DeVito. Who's Italian? I don't know if you guys knew that.
Did not, no.
Mario Batali, the chef. And Frankie Valli will be performing tonight. Now, tonight is it's kind of the VIP prima notte, we call it. That's the first night. And tickets for tonight are $100 or $250. You can go for either level.
And that's because charity, right?
Yeah, and it's feastofla.org if you want to go online and get the information. But the rest of the weekend is it's not, you know, it's just a couple bucks to get in and you bring the whole family and you can eat. We have a whole bunch of food stands set up from different restaurants, Frankie's on Melrose, Rocco's, Albano's, Taste of Chicago, Trastevere, a whole bunch of restaurants all lined up, and you can have a different item from each food stand. It's good time.
Now, Jim, I'm coming tonight to the charity thing. What time do I need to leave to miss Frankie Valli?
Oh, no.
Oh, how dare you.
Thank you.
Dude, he's the best.
Listen, let me tell you, I know, Kevin, you don't like anything.
Frankie Valli from The Sopranos, by the way, Kevin.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like the 50s and 60s music. I'm not
but
into it.
Frankie Valli, come on. You don't like Frankie Valli? Mm. Everyone likes Frankie Valli.
It's not that I dislike him, it's just I don't like him. You know what I mean?
Wait a minute.
It's not an intense dislike. It's I don't care. That's it.
Grease is the word, Kevin.
Yeah, in the 70s or 60s or whatever.
That was the 70s. How about Who Loves You Pretty Baby?
If you were singing,
you gotta
like
that song. All right, I'll jump in there.
If you jump in, when Jimmy first took me to see Huey Lewis, I was like, all right, you know.
Right.
And then it's like, oh my God, I know this song. I know this song. Oh yeah, this song was great.
What do you mean it was like, yeah, all right?
By the way, the Danny DeVito, Chef Batali, and Frankie Valli, who are going to be at the festival tonight, also all guests on Jimmy Kimmel's show just after midnight on Channel 7 tonight. So
That's
if you don't
right.
get down there in person, you can see all those same guests on the TV tonight. Now, Sarah, you're going tonight, right? Are you going to be looking for new opportunities to make Britney cry while you're there, or what are you going to be doing?
That is uncalled for.
I got to tell you.
And yes.
You mean Britney Spears, right?
Yeah. I got to tell you, we were in Vegas, and that show was a train wreck. And the 10 seconds that they showed of the Foo Fighters suite and Sarah Silverman, you were the only good parts of that entire show.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
And the fact that they tried to blame your joke for her performance killed me.
It was, first of all, when I got up in the morning and read that, my heart sank at the thought of that being true. And then I remembered, Oh, that they're lying because I never, I didn't do any of the jokes until they were live on stage.
Right, but they still tried to pin it on you, which is
blaming the Jews.
They pin it on me like I scheduled me to go on immediately after Britney.
I think it was a smart move. I would have blamed it on you too. Someone had to be blamed for
sure,
that.
Somebody had to be the fall guy, and it can't be Fat Britney.
The classic
now,
scapegoat.
Yeah. I know we're almost out of time, and Sarah, you're going to come in and see us before your show comes back for a new season on Comedy Central in October, right?
Well, actually, it's next week, right?
Yeah. That's oh, my God. Wednesday. Is that next week already?
October 3rd is next Wednesday.
It's on Wednesday.
Isn't that hard to believe?
Okay. Yeah. That's Wednesday, October 3rd at 10:30 on Comedy Central. And Jimmy, the details again for the 6th annual Precious Cheese of Feast of the Brought to You by Ralph's.
It's
whatever the hell
right
you call
behind
it.
Our theater on Hollywood and Highland. Actually, it's on Hawthorne Boulevard. You can park at Hollywood and Highland. And it'll be going on all weekend. It starts tonight with the Prima Notte event. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a good time will be had by
all. Are you just going to be there all weekend stuffing your face, Jim?
Of course I will, yes. In fact, I don't just stick to my face. I will stuff food into every orifice available.
That's great news. All right, feastofla.org if you want to purchase tickets. And Jimmy, thanks for joining us again. Jimmy's show is
Kevin,
on.
I will see you tonight.
Just
Bean,
until
I'll probably
that,
never see you again.
Until that act.
Probably not. But thanks for coming on. Sarah, good luck on the show. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We were just talking to Jimmy Kimmel a minute ago about the festival that's going on tonight. And Sarah Silverman about her show that's on next Wednesday night. Right after South Park, by the way. And off the air, we were talking about Barry Manilow, who was on Jimmy's show.
Yeah. Now to one of my favorite guests, my man Barry Manilow.
About a week ago. And Bean is obsessed with Barry Manilow, and he wonders why people call him gay.
He's a fan.
You're talking about Barry Manilow, who has the number 3 best-selling album in America this week? Is that who you're talking about?
You say that like it's some kind of justification. So what?
Yeah,
Oprah has the most watched TV show in history, probably. Don't care.
People over 50 do buy albums.
My point is that it's not like I'm a freak alone out here on, you know, the Barry Manilow boat. There are millions of Fanilows.
Yes, but most, as you say, Fanilows aren't trying to claim heterosexuality.
Seems it never rains in Southern California.
It's Barry's smash hit, his new smash hit.
Seems
all right, what's the point? Why do you bring up Barry besides the fact that he rules?
He's a total gaylord.
Oh, come on.
Jimmy was doing a story on his show about Barry Manilow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is super funny, what a judge decided needed to be done with some bad guys. I was afraid of that. That's not it. That's Steve-O's new theme song. Sorry, hang on 1 second. I got to find it. It's like I might got out of the file that I was in.
Barry Manilow somehow involved in a ruling? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
A judge?
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting case just wrapped up in Colorado. Some punks were found guilty of noise pollution. So the judge forced them to listen to music he knew they wouldn't like. And I think, well, you might recognize one of the artists.
Barry Manilow has a lot of fans, but a Colorado judge may not be one of them, nor these young people. The judge has decided Manilow's music would be perfect punishment for noise ordinance violators. So the judge sentenced the young adults to an hour of Manilow, plus Barney songs and Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You.
Look at that! Are you kidding me? And the video was these thugged out looking dudes sitting in a room grimacing while they heard the punishment that was Barry Manilow's music.
That is a great idea.
Best thing that ever happened to them. They're going to look back one day and realize that's when they started to recognize real talent.
If you wanted to punish Kevin, really punish Kevin.
That would be the way to do it. Put me in a room with Barry Manilow music for an hour? Are you kidding me?
God.
I would kill myself.
You know, all these years I thought I wanted to be on a jury. Now that I hear this story, I want to be a defendant.
Is this guy gay or what?
Let's talk about Courtney Love for a moment. That's a name maybe you haven't heard in a while. The last time I think we saw her was on the TV. Wasn't she on one of those roast shows on Comedy Central, I think?
Yes, she was. And comedian Jeff Ross had this to say.
Courtney Love, you're like the girl next door. If you happen to live next to a methadone clinic. How is it possible that Courtney Love looks worse than Kurt Cobain?
Just got worse from there. You know, she's apparently cleaned up her act. She's lost a lot of weight. She says she's not on the drugs anymore. But she's looking for new ways to make money. You know, she's not making the records anymore like she used to.
She's doing Buddhist chanting.
Yeah.
Pilates and Alcoholics Anonymous. And she says, I'm just a Beverly Hills soccer mom now. And I've finally learned how to play the game. I can't afford to be rebellious. And she wants to come out with a new fragrance.
Well, I mean, let's face it. There are so many celebrities who are doing that. I mean, you look at some of these people like Beyonce. You know, they're making so much money from perfumes. If you can pull it off, I guess it's worth trying. So we asked producer Lightning to line her up for us, and I think we have the former First Lady of Grunge on the line with us right now. Courtney Love, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Court?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
God, I'm glad to hear you.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're good. We just we saw the story in the news about your new perfume and how
that's
you're
going. Right. Yeah. It's my brand new venture, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Look, have you been smoking an extra lot this morning, Courtney?
Nope. Just the average amount.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So the quote is: "These days, stars are making money by marketing their own clothes and fragrances." So you looked at that and you said, "There's a cash opportunity for your fans to sell them a scent, right?"
Right. I knew that the clothing line wouldn't be too successful because you get to dress like a whore.
Right. Sure. Are you in a hot tub right now? What's the?
Oh no, I'm in the lab. I'm working on my fragrance.
You're in a lab?
Yes, I'm in a perfume lab, and I've been working on my fragrance, trying different scents out to see which one works best.
So you're not one of those celebrities who somebody else does all the work and then you just sign off on it.
No.
You are actually involved in deciding which fragrance to put out there.
Yes, I want my new fragrance, Love, or actually, in my case, I'd probably be better off calling it Court, will smell much like the smells that I like.
Okay, like what?
Well, I'm trying different essences.
Okay.
Like I've used some animal essences. I take the secretions of animals and I try to add them because that's in a lot of perfumes.
Okay.
So I'm trying this one. That's good.
Wait.
Oh, that's good.
Wait a minute. You have a live pig there?
Yes, I'm extracting pig smell.
Okay. It's not generally considered to be good.
And then I mix it in with the perfume and let me tell you. Oh, that's good.
You just
good
gargle stuff. It?
You don't drink. No, you don't drink it, Courtney. You're
Why
supposed
not?
To smell
There's alcohol
it.
In it. There's alcohol
right, but you
in
just,
it.
But it's the scent.
Oh, that's good.
It's aren't you in Alcoholics Anonymous?
Whatever.
Okay.
Let me try this one. Oh, cricket. Oh, yeah.
Cricket?
Ode to cricket. Just mash one up and rub it in behind my ears. Lovely.
That cannot be good.
Ooh. Oh,
a wolf?
Yeah. Smell of wolf. Smell of wet wolf.
Oh.
That smells so good. That sounds attractive.
I can use my panties if I want that.
Oh man.
Dolphin smell.
Yeah. Ode to dolphin.
How do you have a dolphin there?
I just take a dolphin, I put it in a meat grinder.
Oh,
no.
Dear God.
And then you strain it, and then you got dolphin smell.
Okay.
Yeah. Terrible. It's a lot like tuna.
This
As do I.
Right. Going back to your panties, right.
Monkey?
Monkey. No, what smells better than a nice monkey?
Everything?
Almost anything, yeah.
I think that's the one I'm going to stick with. I think that really works out well.
You're going to go with the monkey?
Yeah, that's from mine. And I'm also working on a men's fragrance.
A men's fragrance?
Men's fragrance that I call Kurt.
Oh, I don't think
really?
Anyone wants that.
Yeah.
Oh, Courtney.
Smells like gunpowder.
Come on.
Oh, the memories.
It's over. Actually, the song's over.
Oh, that song's never over, my friend.
That's right.
Cake on K-Rock. It's 8:52. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Not sure why, but here's Ralph Garman with the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Oscar De La Hoya just can't catch a break with all this cross-dressing talk. X17Online.com just launched a new set of pictures.
Oh, no.
Showing the golden boy wearing ladies' lingerie. This time he's in white fishnets with a little skirt and a little bikini top.
He has
to. I dress like a woman.
He has to come out and say, look at how hot these girls are. They want me to dress like that. I'm going to dress like that so that I
He
can...
should. He said, you know what? I'm just having fun. I'm screwing around. Don't worry about it. I can kick your ass and I'm banging these strippers.
Right.
Why I win.
Why does
I
he
win.
Do that?
I don't know. I have no idea. Because it's just going to get worse. Apparently, there is a young lady named Maria. And by lady, I mean stripper whore.
Sure.
Who's ready to come forward and give more details about how he likes to play dress up. Look, I've always said this forever. Anything you do sexually, no matter how twisted and weird it may be, if you're doing it with a chick, it's not gay. So don't worry about it, Oscar. Just dress up. Put on your wigs and your pantyhose and your high heels, whatever you do. As long as you're tagging that,
yeah,
you win.
He needs to go on the offensive and say, this is what this chick wanted, right, so I'm doing it.
And this
then,
one, and this one, and this one. They all wanted that.
And what you don't see is the punishment that happened afterwards. That's what he needs to say.
Right.
Exactly.
And the New York Daily News says...
That's what I'm saying about my photos that are up at KROQ.com.
That's right. We've got Kevin's lingerie pictures up there, too.
Somebody photoshopped me into his face.
Sure they did.
Sure, that was it. Photoshop. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, it's not me. Oh, Oscar. No, just like Oscar says, it's not me.
All right, let me change my story. Look at her. I tagged that.
There you go. Right. Now you're learning.
All right.
New York Daily News says they have sources that tell them a few years ago during a Victoria's Secret fashion show, Oscar stripped down to his skivvies, tried on a set of the angel's wings that the girls were wearing on the runway, and started screaming, "I'm the devil in disguise!"
Yes.
Yeah. Good
times. That's more the behavior you expect from Omar than somebody like Oscar De La Hoya.
That's true. It does sound like an Omar story, doesn't it? Oh, I was hoping I was bringing being good news about Zac Efron being single.
Well, you were. No.
Yeah, but I'm just reading a brand new story here I've got from People Magazine, and they say Tuesday afternoon in Hollywood there are photos taken of he and Vanessa Hudgens holding hands, strolling together, looking very romantic.
That
apparently, the
bitch
two
needs
are
to stay away from my man.
The two are reunited.
She's a whore. Okay.
Speaking of nude pictures,
yeah.
Moth.
Yeah, she does need a little laser treatment or something. Whatever she's got going on down there.
Weed whacker.
No, she's not even like furry.
No, I know.
But she's got like 5 o'clock shadow though. Just kick your ass.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't think she's expecting a fresh shade. That's what she needs.
Yeah,
what a little laser, a little. Electrolysis. There's a lot of solutions to that problem.
Sure,
but you get on there. It's that's coarse grade sandpaper you're dealing with down there. You don't want that. That'll leave you with
look at how smooth Lisa is.
Exactly, Lisa, for example.
Exactly.
Like a cue ball.
What's your professional movie opinion on Zach's new movie 17 that's coming out here soon, Ralph?
I know nothing about Zac Efron or his upcoming films.
I'm proud to say that's true of me as
sorry
well.
Sorry to say.
This is the one where he's a 35-year-old who wakes up back in high school as a teenager.
Ah, the old age changer. The old age-changing plot.
Bringing that one back around again for another SWAT.
Now we can answer. Bad.
Yes, bad. We're not on board. The first casualty of the new fall TV season has already happened. Fox has pulled their new show, Nashville.
Well, it had a good run.
Yeah.
Right?
Had an episode.
I mean, it aired once.
Apparently it was about young people trying to make it in the country music business. Yeah. Turns out no one watched. It came in at 109th in the most recent Nielsen ratings. Fox says, it turns out country music blows.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, oddly enough in a statement.
Let me ask you guys this, though, seriously. Even if a show has poor ratings in one airing, do you think it's fair to judge it on that? I mean, it does take people, especially this time of year with so many new shows debuting, it does take people a while sometimes to stumble upon something, doesn't it?
I agree.
I don't think it's fair, although that sounds like crap.
Yeah, I agree. Unless it's a show about country music, then it should be taken.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like they hated it and knew it was going to blow, but gave it one shot anyway.
It was like Anchorwoman. Remember when Fox put Anchorwoman on?
Yes,
a horrible
terrible
show. And they put it on for like 2 weeks and they said, oh, who are we kidding?
Yeah.
Even we don't like this.
Right.
But a show they do, like Kevin's right, a show they do get behind. For instance, 30 Rock was struggling in its first season.
Right.
But NBC said, we really like this show. We think it's got a lot of potential, so we're going to leave it on and see if it can find an audience. And we're worked out for it.
And Friday Night Lights still struggle to get viewers?
Yeah, still is struggling, but they're going to put that again another season.
Because they know it's solid.
Yeah. It's going to be on Friday nights this time. Might make it easier for
what
people
to
find.
What a great
idea.
Ooh,
that's a good idea.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Top 10 DVDs this week in terms of sales. We Are Marshall, number one. Matthew McConaughey playing football.
That's the team that went down on a plane or
something?
Yeah,
and he's the coach.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Two, Death Proof.
Sure.
You know, they're releasing the Grindhouse movies as separate DVDs. So
I bought Death Proof. I was wondering why it's not coming out the same time as the other half. But
staggering
I guess
them. Yes. Number three, Family Guy Volume 5, the latest in the Family Guy series. Available. Very funny.
Always great.
Ralph, I bought that too, so be looking for a check.
Great. I got 13 cents from Bean. Looking forward to that. Superman Doomsday, an animated feature film about Superman. Barbie on the as the Island Princess, number 5.
Okay.
Bean, did you pick that one up, too?
Yes, of course he did.
Yeah.
It's got on a loop.
Smallville Season 6 was number 6. The Condemned, number 7. Grey's Anatomy Season 6 was number 8. So there's your top DVDs. And speaking of movies, there will be a Transformers sequel. Daily Variety has announced that Paramount and DreamWorks will be setting up Transformers 2 for June 29th, 2009. Start the countdown calendar.
2009.
The original movie, which... starred Shia LaBeouf, of course, made nearly $700 million worlwide.
Did it really? Wow.
He is expected to be back for the sequel. In the meantime, Shia, of course, is working on Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which will happen next year.
Remember when he came out and said the title of that at the MTV Video Music Awards and no one cared or knew anything about it? Or,
yeah.
And he's like, seriously, people, it's a really
big
deal.
Seriously, trust me.
That was sad.
You're very excited about this. And Ryan Phillippe not doing his part for manhood.
Oh.
He told In Touch magazine that when he got divorced from Reese Witherspoon, he wanted to die. He said he would wake up at night and cry and vomit.
Wow. Because he realized she was a dude?
No, Kevin.
I'm just asking.
Because his heart was broken.
Oh.
That may be the case, but you don't say it out loud, Ryan. Man up. You're like the rest of us do. Cry in secret. Be very secretive about it.
Just another pansy Philly boy.
How dare you,
oh,
sir?
Yeah, worth you.
I like to think he was crying and vomiting because he had too much blow and booze.
Sure.
That's what I usually
that
cry and
that could be
vomit
the story as well.
In the middle of the night. But that's just me.
Or he watched week one or week two of the NFL.
How dare you, sir?
Oh, no, I'm just saying. No, he didn't.
Hate you.
If we reported it, it's a fact.
That's true.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Avril Lavigne. She is 23 years old today. Gwyneth Paltrow turns 30 mannish 5 years old.
Oh, come on. She's a beautiful woman.
No, she's not.
Nope.
She is a beautiful woman.
Manster.
She is the only thing I am not looking forward to in the new Iron Man movie. I cannot believe they cast her as the love interest.
Why
do all these comic book movies find the most fugly chicks they can
know
and slap them in the role as the superhero love interest?
She's amazing in that she has A cups, yet they somehow still hit her navel.
Yeah, they still sag.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think defy nature.
I don't think we would mind her if she wasn't put in these knockout roles where you go, no,
yeah,
she's not a knockout.
To be stunning beauty. Yeah,
but really, she's in those roles because she is a tremendously talented Oscar-winning actress.
Yes,
that's why.
That's why she had to be in Shallow Hal, because they needed an Oscar-winning actress to play opposite Jack Black as a fat chick. You're right.
Not saying
that's
she's
why
made
they cast her. Why
couldn't they made always the best
role? Couldn't they put a bombshell in that role at least?
Right.
Somebody's supposed to look at it and say, oh, she's the most beautiful woman ever. Couldn't they put an attractive woman in that role?
Yeah.
I find Gwyneth quite
well, you're
quite
wrong,
lovely,
and I'd like to take back the bells.
You don't need a Juilliard grad for that.
No.
For
but
Shallow
why
Hal. Or
why
for Iron
think
Man, for that matter. Let's put a hot-looking comic book-looking chick in there.
Jamie Presley.
Megan Fox. Any one of those people like that. That should look hot.
Any of them.
Why do you think they give her so many cosmetics ads and things like that to capitalize on her beauty?
To make ugly girls feel good about themselves.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can look a little bit better. I might get to Gwyneth Paltrow level of attractiveness.
If I add rouge, I too can be beautiful. Because look at this fugly whore.
If I wanted to hear from an ass, I'd fart.
Yeah, so she's 35 years old today. So she's going to get even uglier, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, 35.
On the way down.
She's on the other side of the mountain, as we say. Third Eye Blind is a bad.
Is that a story?
That's your David news?
And their singer, Stephen Jenkins, celebrates his 43rd birthday.
Right?
I gave him quite a gift on his birthday.
Yes, you did.
Meatloaf is 60.
Ladies and gentlemen, Meatloaf!
And Greg Hamm, sax player for Men at Work, is 54 years old today.
Who can it be now?
Hi, Greg. Yeah.
Who can it be now?
Do the same thing again. All right, play that riff one more time, exactly the same. One more time. Ah, he's got skills. Hear that? Four times in a row. Hit the same notes.
He's got skills on that particular riff.
Yes, he does. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show. Stop it. Don't look at me like that.
Do you get up and put your wife's clothes on in the morning?
Sometimes. Yeah. At 9:43.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Kevin Means, What to Do, Nephew, is where you pick up the phone and call us toll-free at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air and get a prize. And today, it's a pair of tickets to the Off-Road Expo at the Fairplex in Pomona. That's coming up on Saturday and Sunday, October 6th and 7th. Who's first today?
Let's start with Tim in Signal Hill, who has a question about this feature. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, what to do, nephew?
What to do?
What to do, baby boo?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, I have a friend who keeps saying, what a do, nephew, and I need to get some clarification on this.
You mean like W-H-A-T-A?
Yeah.
Do? No, that's not it at all. It's what it do. Right?
Yeah, that's what I've been telling her, but yeah, she's not listening, so.
It's not what a do. No, it's what it
although
do.
Although, we get a lot of emails with the same thing who think that it's what a do. And it's not us. This isn't something we made up. I mean, this comes from our dog father. Snoop Dogg is the one who actually named this feature.
Word up.
Word up is right.
All
right. You should never say
some
that
of his extra hoss soon.
Let's go to Todd in Cypress. Good morning, Todd. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What a do?
I saw Good Luck Chuck last night, and I just want to know. I thought it was a good movie. I just want to know what Ralph and Bean's problem is with Dane Cook.
Well, he's not funny. That's my first problem with him.
I don't find him funny. I'm fine with him, and that movie looked good to me, too, but I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Oh, have you seen his stand-up before, Ralph?
I've tried to.
What
I only got through about half of it.
What episode of stand-up have you seen?
One of his concert videos.
The part where there's no jokes. The part where he's on stage for 10 minutes going through the motions where jokes would normally be inserted in most comedians' acts, and he just leaves that part out. He just talks and waves his arms.
Yeah, he's energetic. I'll give him that. He's bouncing all over the stage and things, but the words coming out of his mouth aren't particularly funny.
Yeah. All right, give me a Dane Cook joke that you've heard that you think is funny.
Oh, this will go well.
Give me something quotable.
Well, I mean, every comedian's got their riff that people love. What's Dane Cook's that's like the best thing he does?
Well, he tells really good stories, and then this, like, I guess you could say his energetic stuff makes it funny, and there's other little stuff in between he does.
Good point. Yeah, all that stuff.
Okay,
I think he's a good storyteller too, but it's really an exercise in futility to say, why don't you like...
Yeah.
But I think we're giving the caller the opportunity, though, if he says all this funny stuff, to just share maybe just one of them with us, and that way maybe Ralph and I will hear it and go, okay, that's funny, we were wrong.
He did. He said all that stuff and then the
stuff. All the stuff.
And then
the stuff in between.
What do you want? You want this guy to regurgitate his comedy act and make it funny?
Just one joke. That's all I was asking.
He can't think of any.
Look, we said earlier in the week, and I'm going to repeat it again for folks who weren't listening. Ralph and I think I can speak for Ralph. We don't have anything against Dane Cook personally.
No.
He seems like a nice guy. If he were coming over to clean my pool, I'd go, hey, he's a cool dude. But he shouldn't be up on a stage or in a movie pretending to be a comedian or an actor. That's my only thing, is he's just miscast in those roles.
Yes. More pool cleaning, less movies.
You're both, right. You're both sad, sad people. Jeff Tarzana, good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Jeff?
So I work in a weapons store in Tarzana, right. And someone
awesome.
Tried to rob us with a Swiss Army knife.
That's dumb.
I heard about that.
Wow.
And,
are you at that Army surplus store or whatever that is?
Yeah, Recon 1.
Right. And they came in with a pen knife.
Yeah, he came in with a pen knife, and my boss pulled a sword and told him to sit on the floor.
Oh, my God.
He pulled a sword.
Yeah, you lose in that fight.
Wow.
Sit on the floor and wait for police.
What was the guy trying to steal? Guns?
He was trying to steal knives.
Knives.
A bigger knife.
Give me a bigger knife. I'm serious.
I have to go rob a liquor store. I need a bigger knife.
Is there a security cam video?
I don't. We have security cameras, but they don't work.
That would be
sweet.
Funny.
Way to advertise that, by the way.
Yeah, they don't need it, dude. The guy pulls a sword. He says, that's not a knife. This is a knife.
Well, I was thinking now that we know the name of the shop and the location, he's advertising no security cams. That might be good information for somebody after hours. That's all.
Unless you want to sword up your ass.
That's what I'm saying. That's the last place you want to go. Remember when we were in Vegas at the gun store and we were shooting AK-47s and everything?
Sure. Yep.
And one of the guys said, hey, watch this. And he pulled out a pistol and started shooting. And we're like, that guy's armed. He's been armed this whole time.
I know.
All were. All the guys
freaky.
There were.
Not the place you want to go rob. That's all I'm saying. All right. Let's go to Adam in Pasadena. Good morning, Adam.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
All right. I got a buddy of mine. He has this girlfriend that was sleeping over at his house.
Yeah.
And while they're sleeping, she's texting and, like, whispering on the phone. So she leaves his house in the middle of the night, sneaks out, gets in this other guy's car, and drives off.
Excellent.
So my friend, thinking that she's cheating, follows her back to her house.
Right.
When he gets to her house, he sees the two of them on her front porch talking, and the guy's looking at him real mean, and the girl looks real freaked out, so he thought for sure something's going on. So without saying anything, he just ran up and started pummeling the kid and smacking his head around and stuff. And the mom jumps out, starts screaming, no, stop, please stop. And then the dad comes out of the house with a gun and yells, get away from my son.
So is her brother.
It was her brother.
That was that was very close to a Dane Cook story. I mean, really?
A little funnier. You're a little funnier than Dane, don't get me wrong.
It was long and involved and boring and didn't have a point, but you told it as if you were telling us a joke. It was well done.
He has the good work, Adam.
The Dane delivery. That's what he had.
The Dane delivery system.
All right, let's go to Gary in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Gary. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Good morning. What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
Hey, for Oscar De La Hoya.
Yes.
If you're Oscar, why do you have to dress up? Why isn't she dressing up? As hot as she is, you would think Oscar would have the hooker doing anything. And more importantly, why the hell is Oscar and these people having pictures taken?
Why
do they have pictures taken?
Oh, pictures.
Taken
no, I know. That's what I was saying. The guy knows he's a huge celebrity. He knows that would go around.
Look, that doesn't cross your mind when you're getting freaky. People have weird things that turn them on in the bedroom. Maybe getting pictures taken is part of the kinky thrill for him. You never know what's going to float somebody's boat.
And to answer your first question, the reason he doesn't have the girl dress up is because it's a turn-on for him to dress up. That's why he's the guy doing it. And like Ralph said, maybe pictures is part of that. So he was just, you know, enjoying it. But we've been saying all along, and he should have come to us for advice on how to handle this thing, just go with it, man. Say, yeah, I'm letting my freak flag fly. Look at this chick I'm banging, you know?
True.
By the way, a K-Rock listener photoshopped my face onto one of those pictures at K-Rock.
Oh, yeah, photoshopped.
Sure.
What
I mean is I'm letting my freak flag fly.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
That's what I meant.
Let's close with Pat. He's calling from Brea, and I'd be curious to hear what Psycho Mike's answer to this question is because I can't figure it out either. Pat, good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Nice to live.
Lisa May.
Hello.
All right, this is my thing. You knew that the ball that Barry Bonds hit to break the record, it was going to be very controversial. Who was going to get it, what they were going to do with it.
Right.
Okay, the guy makes $14 million last year. Why in the hell didn't he have somebody, you know, bid on the ball other than himself to get this ball back? I don't get it.
What happened to it? I didn't see.
Okay, so some designer got the ball, and now he's going to brand it, and he's going to send it to Cooperstown, and Bonds is pissed off as hell because, you know, it's not making him look good, but I just don't understand why he didn't try just, you know, $1.5 million, that would be his max, and go for the ball.
What is he branding it? What is
an asterisk? Mark Echo. Echo, the designer of Echo Clothing, he bought the ball, and he put up 3 options and let people vote via internet and phone. He was either going to blast it into space, give it to Cooperstown, or put an asterisk on it, brand it.
Right.
And then try to give it to Cooperstown. The Baseball Hall of Fame will not accept this ball if there's an asterisk in it. They're not
going to say they will.
They said they're going to take it. They're not going to display it.
That'll make them look bad, though.
Yeah.
They say that they
put an asterisk on it, and they're gonna put an asterisk on it, but they'll probably put it on one side of the ball, so it'll go into Cooperstown, and they'll put it on the asterisk, so they won't see it. But
I was surprised by the reaction from Cooperstown to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. They say, "Look, this is a reflection of the era in which this home run was hit. If this is a reflection of the fans, if this is what the fans want to do with the ball and have it displayed this way, we will display it that way." And that really surprised me. And I think we're gonna be talking to this Mark Echo guy, this guy who bought the ball for $750,000. But I think the more important question is what Pat asks: how could Barry Bonds let this happen? As rich as he is, why wouldn't he buy the ball himself?
Right. Because he'd rather bitch about it.
I think so, too. I think he likes the attention it brings, regardless if it's negative or positive.
No way Cooperstown will take that ball. No way.
I don't care what the statements are.
I do not think.
I'm going to do some flies. That ball will not be displayed in Cooperstown with an asterisk on it. I'm telling you.
I'm going to do some leg presses. I'll be back.
If you're telling us that it must be true, I want to thank all of our many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Jimmy Kimmel. He, of course, is going to be your unofficial host of the 6th annual Feast of San Gennaro. That starts tonight. It's down there, he told us, right behind his studio where he does his TV show down by Hollywood and Highland, right? That's where the big festival is going to be held.
You can't miss it when you get down there because you see all the rides and stuff. It's all tented off. It's a big event.
And what's the deal? You guys are going tonight. Tonight is the big bucks, this charity one, right?
Tonight is called the Prima Notte, which is the first night. And so they have a big big VIP kind of ball there where you spend a lot of money and all the money goes to charity. So,
and you can get tickets for $100 or $250. And then it's just like $5 to get in for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if you want to go take the family down there. It really is a great event. It's a lot of fun. Ralph, you're so lucky you get to see Frankie Valli tonight, man. You're going to have a fantastic time.
I can't wait.
Also, I want to thank the lovely Sarah Silverman for joining us. The Sarah Silverman program, very funny over on Comedy Central, comes back for an all-new season next Wednesday night, October 3rd at 10:30, right after a brand new South Park episode. So that's going to be pretty cool.
And thanks to Petros Papadakis for joining us. Of course, he is the lead analyst on Fox Sports for Pac-10 football. You can see him doing the UCLA game this Saturday at 3:30. Hear him weekday afternoons with our friend Matt Money Smith at AM 570.
All right, tomorrow morning at all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Jason Bateman on the program.
Excited about him. That?
Yeah, very
great
much.
Actor.
Arrested Development, we all remember from that.
We have the co-producer and executive producer of Cops. They're having their 20th season anniversary.
Best show ever.
And they arrest the same guy every time.
Yeah, it's the same episode. They just change the names and just keep re-releasing for 20 years. Just rotating the same goddamn episode. The guy in the white beater comes out. He's drunk. He's been slapping his wife around. They put him back.
Got no teeth.
Bad boy. What you got to do? Bad boy.
If you only knew, if everything you knew about the American police setup was from Cops, you would think that no one has ever been arrested with a shirt on. I mean, it's just so weird.
Yeah. So Tom Cruise building a $10 million bunker for the coming war with Xenu, apparently.
Uh-huh.
Give you some more details on that. We didn't have a chance to call South Africa about the marauding baboons today.
Oh, damn. We didn't have time to call a foreign country because those bits go so
well. We have plenty of time.
Tomorrow.
Don't worry about it. Thank God. We're going to get to that.
Also, we have a K-Rock listener who is, she's got a website where she picks football games, and she seems to know what she's talking about.
The gridiron goddess.
She's a chick, though.
She's hot. We're going to talk to her tomorrow.
She's pretty hot, and she knows her stuff.
What guy is giving her the details on the game, though, Ralph?
Bean.
Nice try.
Whoever's putting it to her. He's giving her some info, too.
Movie Beat. It's Friday morning tomorrow. And speaking of Movie Beat, we have the lead actor in Into the Wild, Emil Hirsch, on the program tomorrow. So that's all coming.
Dude. He's Speed Racer, you know. That guy's awesome.
That's right.
All right.
I forgot.
That's a very big show tomorrow. But until then, how about 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock with Kat Corbett? We got Modest Mouse on the way, Smashing Pumpkins, Incubus, Blur. What's this new Angels and Airwaves song all about, Tom? I don't think I've heard this. Everything's Magic.
It's about a wizard who sprinkles the dust of life and fun from above in space and things that are mystical.
The whole song.
All right.